Hello, and welcome to the Matthew Aaron Show. I am Matthew Aaron. You know, you're fine, pal. Trust me.
Yeah, no,
I don't
me.
Need to hear myself, Mikey.
Can you hear yourself now,
hold
Mikey?
On. No, a little louder.
You're fine.
No, a little louder.
I can't make you any louder because then you'll break the sound barrier.
But I'm not even getting in the... All right, that's fine. Can you turn my headphones up then?
Speaking of...
I just did turn your headphones up. How do you think I...
Here, use mine. Switch them. Wait, wait.
No, I know what the problem is.
What's the problem?
Plug that in a little harder.
Mikey, they're plugged in all the way. All
right, now we're good now. It's just one of them. One of the headphones don't work. In the
Matthew Aaron on Twitter.
And I'm Matthew Aaron. www.thematthewaronshow.com. At Matt Aaron Show on Twitter. You can go on Facebook to the Matthew Aaron Show. Go to the Facebook page and click like. And what, is there anything else I got to plug?
No.
Breaking the sound barrier.
Okay. And I am joined by Michael Terzo.
Yes, sir.
Hello.
I'm here, folks.
Alex Luisi.
Hey, how's it going?
Cesar Marconi's in the house producing the show. Patrick Tobias is in his cave, as usual. And by the way, just so we can have official word for our fans in Kosovo.
Yes.
In a year and a half, have you ever met Patrick Tobias?
No. Never. I know where he lives.
I will be meeting him soon. I've heard him on the phone. I know he exists. He's like...
He has metal legs.
Yeah. You know, I
But he does a good job for someone you never meet.
No, for some...
His dad is the most interesting man in the world.
You know, he's like... I still say he's like that guy from Home Improvement.
Oh, Wilson?
Wilson, yeah. He's like Wilson.
Yeah, but we don't even see his forehead.
I've seen a photo of him on Facebook.
Well, he could be Chuck Norris's son.
He
could be Chuck Norris's son? I don't know about that. So we have a lot to talk about, don't we? No?
Yeah, no, we got a lot to talk about.
Yes,
yeah.
No. Oh, by the way, I'm not going to talk about this for more than a minute, but once again, vindicated, Nike dropped Lance Armstrong today.
Yep.
What a shock.
Well, since Lance is probably still worth like $100 million.
And he stepped down from Livestrong today as well.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
He'll be living really strong in his mansions.
Well, yeah, but he's still going to be a scumbag his whole life.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of people in this world that like to be a scumbag worth $100 million.
Yeah, but I'm wondering how happy those people really are. Because once you hit a certain dollar amount where you could buy anything,
yeah,
you kind of run out of shit to do anyways.
No, you do, but then you just start...
It gets old.
You just start buying things to do.
Right. I know some rich people. It gets old.
Regardless, though, he did raise a ton
of
money.
Okay, enough
of
Louise.
All right.
Any hoosers, moving on. Vindication.
Listen, we're moving on from Lance Armstrong.
I am just bringing up the fact that after a year and a half of me bitching about the guy, I have finally been vindicated, and all those people that got mad at me throughout the way have not apologized once. So, whatever.
I'm sorry.
I'm just going to sit on
that. Yeah, all right.
You never got mad at me. You got mad at me?
Never.
Oh, okay. Terzo sweating. What the fuck just
happened to
you?
He was looking at my hot dog.
What just
calm happened? Down there, pal.
Dude, your whole forehead was just... I looked at you 1 second, you're dry. The next second, the whole forehead just go... I looked at him for 1 second. I look at Luisi for 1 second. I turned back.
You know, Manny?
What happened?
Keep talking like that. You're going to start sweating real soon.
I just don't know what happened. You're not sitting under a light.
No, there's nothing. There's nothing going on.
All right. I'm just making sure. I'm looking out for your health here, pal. Sweat storm out of nowhere. I get a little worried.
Trust me. I've been dealing with this for 26 years now.
Sweat? When you were a baby, you sweat that bad?
He came out 2 hours ago. He's still wet.
So, do we talk about...
spit it out.
Pat just texted me, and of course he does. Jacob Aaron Estes is joining me today. He is the director of the details. He also did a film.
With Ray Liotta, right?
Ray Liotta.
And Tobey Maguire.
Tobey Maguire, Elizabeth Banks. Dennis Haysbert. You know Dennis Haysbert, right?
Yeah.
Allstate commercials.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Dennis Haysbert.
You're in good hands.
Yeah, right.
You know, every time I see him, I just think of the president from 24.
Right. Yep. Now, yeah, he's never going to live that down, is he? that stuck with him forever.
No, and you know, I remember Lee caddied for him.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Lee said he was a good guy. Yeah. Laura Linney's in this movie. Kerry Washington. Kerry Washington smoking.
Lee
hot.
Caddied for him.
Yeah.
You know, Laura Linney, and I mean this totally as a compliment. She's hot in that, like, I want to have sex with my friend's mom.
MILF way.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
totally.
I agree. She is like that kind of hot. Yeah.
Like, oh.
I agree.
Your son's not home today?
Of course, Jacob Aranestes did this film, Mean Creek, back in, I think, like 2004. It was a huge deal. It was critically acclaimed. It was a really, really good film, and I just need to talk to him because...
Why wasn't it more popular?
Well, no, it was popular. Why didn't... What was with the gap? The details comes out now. Nothing really in between. I want to find out what the hell he's been doing, or he's sitting on that Mean Creek money. Well, I guess you could send some Mean Creek money for a year or two.
Yeah, you know, I mean...
Anytime you make a movie that's that big of
how about,
a deal,
well,
I mean, you can sit on for
what
a
about
year.
Binder? I mean, it's, you know...
No, that well's dry, pal.
I mean, he
no, I'm just kidding.
He took a little bit of a break.
Yeah, well, I can tell you this.
And now he has Matt.
If you are a Mike Binder fan, he'll be getting back to work soon. He will be getting back to work. What's that? What's so funny?
Hey,
I'm
a huge Mike Binder fan.
And by the way, Mike Binder's definitely getting back to work soon. Because as you may or may not have heard, if you're a fan of the show, if you follow us on Facebook or the Twitter,
that's right.
A pilot has been in development. It's been announced. It was in Variety this
front
week.
Front page?
I don't read the rags, pal, but it was in Variety.
It was front page?
On the website.
Yeah, it was for a while. It was for a while.
Subliminal message?
Yeah. And, of course, Alex Luisi was kind enough to be a benefactor in this, and Leonard Cannata.
There's all been we're all benefactors
and
of the project.
Jim McCarron's.
Jim McCarron's, yes.
And who else put money? Anthony Giuliano, of course. But he, you know, good for him. And this is exciting. This is exciting.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. A lot of people are benefactors.
Gotta thank the investors. Gotta thank the investors. Only once or twice. Don't get too high of it. You don't get too big of an ego over here, Luisi.
Luisi, you've been losing weight lately?
Easy, pal.
Actually, for him, you should probably say you've been putting on muscle lately. And Lenny, you go.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Easy, pal. Okay.
So I do want to thank our investors. And I also want to thank Melanie Marquez for getting the press release into Variety. And you'll be seeing it in other trades next week, I believe. You'll hear about a cast soon. The show's called Dine and Dash. It is executive produced and hosted by myself.
Joe Carnahan.
Oh yeah, those guys.
Yeah, Mike Binder.
Joe Carnahan, Mike Binder, Anthony Giuliano. Those are the executive producers. The co-executive producers are Jim McCarron's, Alex Luisi, Nick Martisek. I've heard of him somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. You might actually be related
Cannata,
to him.
And Leonard Cannata.
He's kind of a big deal around the house here.
Yeah, we'll see. And so here's the deal. It's called Dine and Dash, which, by the way, do you like the title?
I like the title.
You like the title?
You know, you're going to have to figure something in. At the end of the show, everybody's like, hey, guys, let's get out of here before the bill comes. And then everybody gets up and runs.
Yeah, especially for some
like,
of the restaurants
it does,
that want to
it does like
the
freeze.
I ain't paying.
It does the freeze frame with all the celebrities running.
Well, I'm going to tell you. Yeah, that's funny. That's a good idea. But I got to tell you, I guess. When this got released, so the show basically is me and six celebrities. We're at dinner, and you may right now be going, so it's dinner for seven. Shut the fuck up. That's not very nice. It's a little bit.
I've never heard of dinner for seven.
Well, dinner for five, which
I've never heard of dinner for five.
Never heard of it?
No.
You got a job, Mikey. That's what I like to hear. See, this man knows how to pander. So anyways, it's me, six celebrities at dinner. We'll be talking about all sorts of things, but it'll be more along the lines of my racy humor and my outgoing questions that we do on the show.
You know, I just want to throw this out here, Maddie.
Yeah.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but I always looked at things this way. There's a reason why there's the Jay Leno show, the David Letterman show. You know, let's see, who help me out?
Jimmy Fallon,
Jimmy Kimmel, Craig Ferguson. There you go, Craig Ferguson.
He's a funny bro.
You know, and they all essentially do the same show, but... They all have their own fans, and they're all pretty popular.
Yeah, that's true. But it takes time to grow that kind of audience and stuff. But So basically, yes, I'm at dinner with these celebrities. You're going to be seeing a lot of social media activity on this show. We are going to want people to participate in this show. That's something I can tell you up front. There will be announcements in the coming weeks about the first group of guests. I already know people that are attached for future episodes that would blow your mind. And, yeah, I'm just very excited. And but, yeah, what happened yesterday is this press release goes out. And all of a sudden, and I never expected this ever, all of a sudden there's like 50 restaurants calling us to have our show from there.
Hey there, Manny, we heard about the show.
Hey, Manny, it's your good friend Mario Batali.
Yeah.
Wait, Mario who?
Yeah.
Right, right.
Oh, you the guy with the Crocs?
Yeah.
I hate Crocs.
Lemon meringue pie.
So, yeah, we got all these phone calls. All of a sudden, everyone wants to do their show from there. So we'll have an announcement based off of some of that as well in the near future.
You hear that, baby back ribs? Baby back ribs.
Yeah, and I gotta tell you, for anyone wondering, Joe Carnahan and Mike Binder, especially since the show's been announced this week, very, very excited about this. Very, very excited about helping me see my vision through with this. And yeah, this is not just a case of a couple guys putting their names on a project and helping out. They're very excited, and they very much like the vision. So that's the project, Dine and Dash. Exciting. Mike,
yep.
Do you like the title? You
absolutely.
Never said if you
like no,
the title.
No, I like the
you
title.
I'm
you
hungry.
Know what?
I'm
I don't
hungry.
Think the title is going to matter as much as the content.
And well,
I already
of course,
know what
the content
is.
Do you like the title?
I do
like
the
title.
I
like
it. I just like the Dash part.
I like the part where in Variety – it said Carnahan and Binder Dine and Dash. I think that's funny.
That's good.
I thought they robbed a joint. Or
I like how Poindexter ruined
Larry
it.
Poindexter.
Yeah, ruined it on your face.
Famous actor Larry Poindexter.
The first one. I could see him dashing.
Well, Larry probably has Variety coming up on his screen, reloading every 5 seconds all
yeah.
the time. Anyways, he wants to see
yeah.
who's getting his job.
I love
that
like,
he's
I'm like, damn, Poindexter again.
Poindexter's like Clooney got another gig. Fuck him.
Yeah. Larry's on point. We'll say that.
Yes, I love Larry though. But Mikey, you're going to be working on the show. Excited?
Yeah, I'm definitely excited. Real excited. Looking forward to that.
Yeah. It should be fun. It should be fun.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun. So it's a good excuse to get out of work and go on a vacation. You know what I mean?
You go to L.A. for vacation?
Well, it's not
really, work.
It's not really vacation, but
we're putting your ass
it's
to
just
work.
A new setting.
You mean get out of your Illinois jobs for a week
Illinois
to go have
jobs.
An L.A. job for a week?
Yeah, besides, I like getting stared at like a farm animal when I walk down Rodeo Drive.
That's true, you do. Someone's calling right now, actually. Maybe this is Mr. Estes, I don't know. Hello, you're on the Matthew Aaron Show. Who am I speaking with?
I thought you were going to talk about the details. That's why I'm listening.
We're going to be. That's fine. I'll put you on hold so you can keep listening.
Okay, thanks.
She had no interest in talking to me.
No.
None. She is just waiting for Jacob Aaron Estes.
Wow.
She doesn't want nothing to do with me. 847, you're on. Who am I speaking with?
Hey, it's Lee.
Oh, hey,
Lee.
How you doing, pal?
How's it going?
Hey! How you doing, fellas?
I'm doing good.
Good. Good.
Yeah.
Jacob is on today.
Cover Lee.
What's up, Lee?
You got Jacob on today?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I know you probably liked Mean Creek quite a bit.
Well, you did you? Is it a live interview?
Yes.
Oh. Yeah. You know, I tease Lenny about not doing his research when he calls in. He's not listening to the show, and then I sound just like him. Like, hey, guys, you do a show? Like, I'm a freaking idiot.
So, Lee, what's going on, pal? How's the new place?
It's fantastic. I'm in Studio City. I'm on Valley Heart, which is overlooking the basin there.
No cockroach?
This sort of crow's nest-type loft deal, and I got a sun deck. With a great 180-degree view, I can see the mountains and palm trees. There's enough space for my typewriter, so I got that set up. I got a couch out there and a grill. It's just a sweet place.
Wait, are you outside?
No, I'm.
Oh,
yeah,
you're
well,
staying
I'm,
out there.
Yeah, I thought you said something about a crow's nest and a typewriter. I wasn't sure if. a typewriter was like prop that you used. Like,
I don't know what you heard, but no, I'm in this like sort of loft here.
Okay.
And you have roommates?
Yeah, two guys, and one, you know, they're both sort of trying to work the industry like I am. You know, both movie nuts, and
okay,
they're never around. They're never here.
They're not trying to work you over?
No. Believe me, I already got that question from my parents.
It's not Three's Company out there?
it's not an all-male version of Three's Company, no.
You have a weird neighbor upstairs that comes down and spies on you once in a while?
Come on, my door.
He wakes up in the bathtub after a party, and he just stays there. That's how that show begins. I think that's a great opening for a show.
Yeah. So you're not living outside, but you have a nice little pad set up outside.
Yeah. I got a couch out there.
Can you see Clooney's house?
What's that?
Can you see Clooney's house?
I can see a lot of houses.
All right, Lee, you can't see Clooney's house. I have no more interest in talking to you. See you later, pal. All right, so back to what we were talking about, the important stuff. Should I put Lee back there?
Even garbage disposal? I think that was wind.
Oh, he's driving
outside.
Lee, are you driving? Are you on the way?
I'm outside.
Are you chasing Mavericks?
I'm
sorry.
Hey, we love Gerard Butler on this show.
I do love Gerard Butler, but I'm not sure if I'll be seeing that movie.
We weren't wowed by the trailer, were we?
No. I mean, maybe if Brett Cullen personally invites me, I'll go. But
I'm shocked he's not in the movie.
I know. Maybe he's inside one of the big Maverick waves.
Lee, you there?
Yeah, I'm there.
There's no plugs. Where? What are you doing, Luisi? I'm sorry for everybody listening to the show. Alex decided to do some technical work right now.
That's never a good idea.
Yeah, no.
What is Alex doing?
He's plugging in his headphones 15 minutes into the show.
Anyway, like a common friend of ours.
Lee, tell me more about your life, please. Lee, comedian Lee Capreas joining us here. What do you got for me, Lee?
Well, I went up at the Laugh Factory finally.
Echo.
Yeah, it went well. It went okay. It's just a one-off. Then people are like, "Oh, nice set. You're from Chicago? Yeah, okay." And then that's it. That's nothing happened.
Did you get banned for going a second over?
No, I didn't. But I did go like I went like maybe 15 seconds over my time, and someone let me know it.
Oh yeah, like, someone will let you know.
Yeah, like, I've seen people go minutes over their time.
So you like the Laugh Factory experience, though?
Yeah, it was positive. It was okay.
Good crowd?
It's all comics, but there's some people. I mean, it's a full room. They don't know who I am, so I have that advantage. For people listening, if you want to do the open mic at the Laugh Factory, you have to wait the previous Tuesday, and then you get on the next week. So I'm explaining it to people. You have to basically wait until they sign you up at 5, and you got to get there like at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and literally sit outside the building, and then you go on the next Tuesday, the following Tuesday.
Mikey, have you thought about signing up at the Laugh Factory?
The only reason I'd sign up at the Laugh Factory is to throw tomatoes at Lee.
Just throw tomatoes at Lee?
Yes.
Well, you could just be an audience.
And I'd make sure
that.
They were like the green ones. They were hard.
That was like a courtesy laugh. That was like Lee going, okay, Mikey wants to kick my ass. Yeah.
Oh.
Alex, would you ever do the Laugh Factory? Do you got material?
I mean, I have material.
Whoa. Luisi, what's your material?
Yeah, I got nothing.
No, you said you got something. What do you got? What would you talk about on stage?
He would just do something stupid.
I think if it was scripted, I would be good.
Okay, what would you script?
I don't know. I'd have somebody do it for me.
Alex is the true definition of an actor.
Hold on.
Here's Alex. He's like an actor. He can't do anything without being told what to do. The problem is he still can't act. So,
hey, Lee, any chance you'll script some material for Alex so he could do some stand-up?
I'll write material for Alex. First, I got to write more material for myself because I wrote new stuff and I hate it.
Well, give me some of your old stuff. Did you use anything about the living in the trailer with the dead guy and showering by a strip club in your last Laugh Factory?
I can't make that into material. It's just a story. It's just a yarn. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but it's hilarious.
Yeah, it is hilarious.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
You got to know me to think it's funny. Otherwise, I don't know.
No, I don't think we got to know you to think it's funny.
I remember this one man I didn't know who lived down in a van down by the river, and I thought it was pretty funny.
Listen, I'm going to give you some very important advice here, Lee, that since you're obviously looking at things, you know, you're in the house. I'm outside the house. I'm looking into the house. I'm going to tell you what I see. I see a guy who, if you told me, I got to turn him down. If you told me, Lee, about your story of living in the trailer, pissing in cups, showering in strip clubs, outside of strip clubs, I would look at you and that, you know, that Jufro you got going on, and that,
yeah.
Oh, you're not an Abercrombie and Fitch model, and you got the stubble. I think it's funny.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's funny. I think the look plays that story off really well.
It really does.
I think I should talk on it.
As a matter of fact, Lee, I shouldn't say I should laugh. I did laugh when I heard the story.
Yeah, I mean, listen, just Bill Hicks it. Just be like, this isn't a fucking joke. I'm going to tell you a story.
Yeah,
that's
and then, and then the drug dealers that came by, and they thought they were going to break in and kill you or something, but they went to the trailer next
to
you.
Oh, the crystal meth guy.
Yeah, the crystal meth.
Capitalize on the crystal meth.
Windows.
Yeah, by the way, Lee, crystal meth is hot right now. Capitalize on
it. Yeah, go with that. Yeah.
Okay.
Crystal meth is hot.
Did you know the guy that died?
Oh, did you know the guy that died in the trailer?
No. Oh, I met him. I met him when I first got there. Yeah, just one time though.
Good guy.
Yeah, he's in his mid-60s. Good guy. He didn't seem like a nutcase or anything.
Yeah, he had a good life.
Yeah.
Not really.
This is the LA story though. I lived in my car. Lee lived in a trailer. This is the L.A. story.
You got robbed by some people that didn't even take all your money?
Right. I'm sure all of Tom Hanks' kids have had to go through this as well. And
I'm sure every last one.
I'm sure all the Schwarzenegger kids probably.
By the way, we love Tom Hanks here. I love Tom Hanks.
100%. Colin, we love you.
Yeah, he's the greatest.
Is
that your Tom Hanks impression?
No. Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Arnold Schwarzenegger. Why are you doing an Arnold Schwarzenegger impression when we're talking about Tom Hanks?
That was his kid.
Okay, moving on.
Okay.
What is he talking about?
That's
so bad. I can't help but laugh at it.
You know, you're terrible. It's funny. It's funny for us, but our listeners right now are going, what the fuck is going on?
That sounds like Luisi's choking
up. Matt, today's episode was sponsored by Crayola.
Wow, Jacob Aaron Estes is like, I'm calling into a real intellectual powerhouse.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Well, as a common friend of ours once said, Maddie, is he slow?
That's true. Oh, Luisi didn't like that one. Now he went to go cry.
Oh, who said I was talking about Luisi? Just assume. That's terrible of you.
Hey Lee, did you happen to pick up a Daily Variety and see Matthew Aaron's name in there, huh?
I saw the blurb, yes.
Oh, just the blurb.
The blurb.
Who I want a paper copy of this.
Yeah,
Lee, come on.
Lee, round them up.
All right.
More than like $5, I'll throw you a Twinkie when I get out there.
Listen, I don't read the rags. Unless it has my name in it.
What the rags? What's the rags? It's paper. What's wrong with it? I don't know this rag talk.
All those entertainment gossip pages. They're all the rags.
It's not Star and National Enquirer.
No rag.
Or TMZ for that matter.
What's that, Lee?
I should have figured that you would have wanted me to grab you a copy. I'm sorry about that.
I do and I don't.
No, I do, Lee. And
it's more for my mother.
I'll forgive you for not getting it. Can we buy that variety out here in Chicago anywhere?
Can't find it anywhere.
What?
Yeah, you need to get a subscription.
Nobody cares.
Man.
Tobias subscription went down, but Variety subscription used to be like $400 a year for the daily paper.
Well, anyway, Lee, grab one.
You don't want to pay $400 a year for the daily subscription?
No. I'd rather pay $20.
We don't like the business that much, okay?
No.
Let's not get
crazy. Yeah, right.
So what else is going on, Lee?
Well, I'm actually looking to try and get something for be an extra or just try to work some other element of this show business thing, you know?
Golf is going to be done pretty soon, right?
No, golf's year-round.
Golf's year-round.
Well, doesn't it slow down?
I'm still doing that. Yeah, it's just I can't work until the 20th because they're fixing the course up. So.
Well, aren't there any other golf courses out there?
There are, but I actually tried a couple other places, and they already got Lakeside caddies caddying at them. I caddied at Wilshire. I caddied at L.A. Country Club a couple times, but it's really slim pickings there.
You're back at your place, though, right?
I'm going to be back there on Friday, yeah, or Saturday, I think.
Looking forward to it?
Yeah, actually, I am. I am looking forward to that. I was able to caddy there for a weekend when I got back, but then they had to do 10 days of work on the course. I can't work for 10 days there.
Mm. That's good. Mikey, do you got anything for Lee here? Alex?
Stay strong, my fellow friend.
Yes. Hey, did you get your sleep machine?
Nope. Coming in the next week or two.
You still haven't got it?
No, they called me today. And for our listeners who may have forgotten, I am getting a sleep apnea machine at the tender age of 29.
Is it stuck in customs in China or something?
Okay, so basically here's what happened. My doctor has a referral office. They have to call a distributor. The distributor then has to call the actual store or company to bring it to your house. So the distributor's been calling me the last week, setting it up, telling me how much it's going to cost, blah, blah, blah. Talking to Blue Cross Blue Shield, talking to, you know, my insurance,
you know,
everyone else.
Why don't you just call this guy up, whoever's supposed to be delivering it, and tell him you got two CLs.
I did. I said, I'm leaving in 2 weeks. You're bringing it next week. Thank you. And he said, okay.
Good.
Hey, pal, the sooner you get here, the more Cialis there's going to be.
Oh, should I slip him a couple Cialises as a bribe?
Dude, you know what? I want to get a description of those things. I'm just going to use them to start tipping guys. You know, he's done a good job tonight. They're gonna get the little yellow Easter egg in their
hand. Tip them some yellow bombs.
What the heck is this?
Oh, hold on 1 second, Lee. I believe Jacob's gonna be joining us here. Unless it's another woman who wants to listen to Jacob and hates my guts.
Probably.
Listen, I called to listen to Jacob Aaron Estes.
Are you gonna talk about the details?
Are you gonna talk about the details? I don't want to listen to you talk about your Bona medication and your.
If this isn't him, then we have to listen to more impressions of Luisi doing Schwarzenegger sounding like he's got a cock in his mouth.
Anyway.
Hello, is someone here? I'm here. Hello.
Yeah, hello. Who am I speaking with?
It's Christopher Walken here.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Your son and his whole wife stole my narcotics. This film, the details, great film. Why don't you start talking about it here? You got Laura Linney's best performance of her career. It's amazing. It blew my mind out of my skull. When's Jacob coming on the air here?
Yeah, I'm waiting for Jacob to call in.
Hey.
You're waiting here. It's taking a long time, and it's such a good film. He's a good friend of mine.
Well, that sounds like Elizabeth Banks doing a Christopher Walken
impression. Elizabeth Banks, no. She's crazy.
Elizabeth Banks.
What do you want to know?
I want to know everything about the details.
The details?
Because if I don't find out, that woman's going to kill me.
It's a great film. It's written by Jacob Aaron Estes. Great man. Great, great storyteller. There's this film called Mean Creek.
Yeah, we loved Mean Creek. Rory Culkin.
It's a great film. It's got great story, a lot of good acting there, and I think it's an underappreciated film, and I appreciate you talking about it now. It's great. So the details, let's get to that. Let's talk about that. What do you have to say?
If I got Christopher Walken on, wouldn't I want to talk to Christopher Walken as well about the...
What do you want
to
know?
Fucking on.
Chris, I got to tell you, I can't wait to see Seven Psychopaths, by the way.
Oh, you do? Another good film, I might say.
Now, aren't they going to be mad at you that you're promoting the details while Seven Psychopaths is in theaters?
A little bit.
Just a little bit. Maybe slight, but not too much.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Just a little bit. You know, what goes around comes around. You know, got to spread the love.
Now, here's my theory. Chris Walken read my name in Variety this week.
Yes, he did.
So he's calling into the show.
That's what it is.
That's what it is.
Is that what happened?
I never miss it. I never miss one. I like it. I like to call in. I do these random things. I have a Twitter.
And Twitter.
So I like to do this. I'm tweeting right now. Check it. I'm online. I'm everywhere. Facebook,
you know what?
Twitter, everywhere. I'm omnipresent.
Mike, you got questions for Chris Walken?
Yeah, you know, I want to do an episode of the show with Chris Walken, Chaz Palminteri, and Al Pacino all at once.
Screaming.
Oh, my God.
Just screaming.
But you know what I want to do? I want to do an episode with Chris Walken and Jacob Aaron Estes at the same
time. Let's do it. Right now.
Episode.
Oh, let's do it. This film, Details, you can't miss it. It's an excellent film. Best performance of Laura Linney's career. Got to see it.
Best performance.
Love Laura.
Could be. You don't know, but you won't know until you find out.
Well, Tobey Maguire is supposed to be phenomenal in this film. I can see that.
He's all grown up. He's an excellent actor.
He's excellent?
He's excellent. Perfect.
Is there any hot sex scenes with Elizabeth Banks in this film? Chris,
I'll leave that up to you. I'm not saying I don't kiss and tell.
All right.
No.
Hold on, Chris. I got another call. Maybe it's one of your fans.
Okay.
Yeah, well, you're on the Matthew Aaron show with me and Chris Walken. Who am I speaking with?
This is Jacob.
Jacob. We're talking the details with Chris Walken, if you didn't hear.
Oh, hey, Chris. How you doing?
Oh, fantastic, Jake. It's good to hear from you.
I saw that video you did where you were cooking chicken. It was fantastic.
I try. I'm branching out.
He's branching out.
Thanks for plugging the movie. I appreciate it.
Jake, I love it. It's fantastic. I think maybe you should, take it from here.
I regret that I didn't cast you to play Ray Liotta's part, but Ray was fantastic. You would have been great, too.
I'm actually disappointed you didn't cast Christopher Walken in Rory Culkin's role in Mean Creek. That's where you really screwed.
That would have been great. I'm Matthew.
So, Chris, tell me and Jacob more about the details. Because obviously Walken saw it, loves it.
Yeah, we don't know.
Love the film. It's fantastic. But you know what? You got the director here. Why don't you let him tell you all about the film? Because it's in his head. He's got heart and soul. I think he's ready. Why don't you give it up for him?
I think he's right, too. Chris, do you have any questions for Jacob, though, before I get to my interview with him?
What was the main seed for this brilliant idea?
The main seed?
Where did it come from?
Well, I wanted to make a story. After Mean Creek, I wanted to make a story about adults, what it's like to be an adult. Does that make sense?
Yes, it makes
a lot of sense
to me. I don't know if it makes sense to Chris.
Chris,
well,
more cowbell.
I think we need more cowbell.
Boy, this podcast would have been hilarious 15 years ago. I'm sorry.
It might have been.
Jacob, let's talk about the details, pal.
Okay,
I'm going to sign off, guys.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Walken.
It was wonderful to hear from Christopher Walken.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was great.
He's one of celebrity my favorite caller. Actors. He's amazing.
He is amazing, and he loves the details. And I really have no fucking clue who that guy was.
No. I thought it was Pat Tobias.
Yeah.
It was
the other woman that called in was my mother-in-law.
Oh, was it?
Oh,
she
it
hates
really was.
Jacob,
I'm not kidding.
Sorry about
she
that.
She does not like me.
Her name's Michelle. She's wonderful.
Michelle,
and,
I love you.
Michelle.
Sorry. she's
very anxious to hear me on radio, so here I am.
Oh.
Hi, Michelle.
Well, okay, I'm excited to talk about this because, first of all, you got a film here with Tobey Maguire who, let's face it, has been kind of missing in action since Spider-Man. So, I mean, he did Brothers, which was really good. But outside of that, we've sparsely seen Toby. What did it mean for you to get Toby involved in this, and why did you want Toby?
Well, I wanted Toby because he's always been an actor that I've admired and enjoyed watching. And I got to say, I'm a huge Spider-Man fan, and I think he's amazing in it. And he's also amazing in all the movies he was in as a kid, The Wonder Boys and stuff like that. So I was, you know, going through a list of people that I thought would be right for the part. And, you know, one of the things that happens in my movie is I've got a guy who, he's a well-meaning guy. He drives a Prius. He's got an Obama sticker on the back of the bumper. But he does a bunch of very naughty things. And I needed a guy who would be really winsome and likable effortlessly. And so Toby was one of the people that I thought would be great for it. And then it was exciting, the idea of introducing him as a man. Even though he had done Brothers, I was casting this without actually having seen Brothers, so I wasn't even thinking about Brothers. But the idea of introducing him as a man was appealing to me.
You are introducing Tobey Maguire as a grown adult, and it's kind of odd too, because he's not young. He's like, well, he's a little older than me. He's in his 30s, and
yeah, I think he's 37.
37, and Tobey Maguire's playing an adult role finally. Good for him. So let's talk about this. The details. You said you wanted to do something adult to Mr. Walken after Mean Creek. But, I mean, obviously, where did this idea come from, originate from? And tell us about the movie. Tell us about the story. Where did this all come from?
Well, it actually really did come from a concept of wanting to do something about being an adult. But it also came from a feeling I had of wanting to rebel against work that I had done previously, both my work depicting kids in Mean Creek, but also my work that I had just been doing for a studio. I had just been writing a very highly structured studio movie for not for myself to direct. And when I was finished with that, I just felt like blowing off some steam and letting loose and seeing what would come out of me if I gave myself permission to do that. So the details is an expression of that for sure.
Well, Jacob, I was talking earlier in the show. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but since you brought it up, it's interesting to me. I talked about earlier in the show how we haven't seen much of your work in, what is it, 7-8 years now?
7 years, yeah.
But I'm sure you've been working, so explain to me, as Mikey keeps moving around his mic, I can hear it every time. It's driving me nuts. What's going on? Okay, explain to me where you've been for the 7 years. You had, because Mean Creek was a big deal. It really was.
Well, I've been hard at work, and I've had a few movies that nearly got over the line and into production that got harpooned at the last second. One of them was something that I worked on for about 2 years, and we were about to go shoot it with Ralph Fiennes. It was a movie about this man, Zell Kravinsky, who, if you're an avid New Yorker reader, you might have read this article called The Gift, and he was this extreme philanthropist who made a fortune in real estate and gave it all away, all of it, while he and his family lived in a very sort of humble, middle-class setting, and he didn't buy a new car. And then he got the idea to give away an organ to a person he didn't know, and his wife disagreed with him. So he told her he was going skiing, and he checked himself into the hospital and donated his kidney to this woman to save her life. And then after that, he became kind of a celebrity. It's a true story. And while he was being interviewed by various press, he started talking about a full body donation and donating the rest of his organs to save 7 others. And he really meant it. And so I went and tried to make that movie. We were very close to starting. We were scouting, and 2 years of my life invested in it. When we got a cease and desist letter from one of the people that was represented in the movie, not Zell, and there was really nothing we could do about it. We had to just stop production. So and other than that, I've been having children and working steadily as a writer in Hollywood, and there was a writer's strike for a while, which
I figured you're working as a writer. Like, I mean, I know you probably can't get specific when it comes to ghostwriting or rewriting and stuff, but, like, were you working on big studio projects or what?
I've done all kinds of things. I've developed some stuff that did for studios that we ended up not making. I've done some stuff, some production rewriting for movies that did get made. I'm actually doing this interview right now from the office of one of my producers, Mark Gordon, who did Source Code.
Yeah, love Source Code.
Right, so I did one of the production rewrites of Source Code before that movie got made. It's been a good living. It's been fun.
Yeah, let me ask you this. You talk about a lot of projects that get close to going over the line and whatever, you know, what have you. How do you go to the next project? Because a lot of my friends in the business and very successful people, I mean, Joe Carnahan's had this a few times. Mike Binder's had this a few times. Guys I'm working with where you get to a project that's going to be great. It gets really close. And then all of a sudden, it just doesn't go for every reason. How do you recover for that? Because I notice you guys all just go right back to work.
Well, I think you just have to say that's life and move on. I mean, there's nothing you can do about the spilled milk. And I think something that probably unifies a lot of successful people with longevity in this business is that they are capable of dealing with failure, because failure is happening and meeting us at, potentially around every corner, whether it's creatively or critically or financially or project to project. Some things work and some things don't for the most successful people among us. You just have to grin and bear it and move on and just keep working. And then
I'm sure you get a lot of pleasure, too, though, out of the fact that after Mean Creek, I mean, you got a lot of support from someone in Chicago who's a pretty big deal, and that's Roger Ebert. And Roger Ebert was someone that really championed your film. And do you think the critical success that is Mean Creek gave you a lot of opportunities, or what do you think it was?
I'm sure that the critical success of Mean Creek gave me some opportunities, yeah. And I'm really grateful to Roger Ebert for his support. There are all kinds of junctures in our lives where that support comes or doesn't come, and you just have to move on. Before I got that support, I was rejected a million times. Even with Mean Creek, it was a script that I wrote 7 years before I made it. And some of the same people who I met with in this business who ended up liking it didn't really like it as a script. And so that's just part of the deal.
How do you know when you're doing a project like The Details, which, by the way, is on demand now? And when's it going to be in theaters, Jacob? Is it in theaters starting this Friday or next Friday?
Is it next Friday? November 2nd.
November 2nd.
I don't even know.
Yeah, that's like two Fridays. Yeah.
It'll
be in L.A. and New York, I believe, November 2nd. But it's on demand now. You can order it on demand, which, by the way, this is kind of being released like Arbitrage was. And Arbitrage was a big movie with Richard Gere. And what people don't understand is not only did it do well in theaters, like I'm sure The Details will do, but it did extremely well on video on demand. And what do you feel like... I have so many questions, but I guess one of them is with this dual release platform, Jacob, and this is obviously different than when Mean Creek was out. They didn't have this. What are the pros and the cons of having this dual release platform?
Well, we're certainly in a new environment and everybody's experimenting right now. And I think that experimentation is important and necessary, and I'm kind of happy to be part of it. The pros, I think a lot of people that, you know, might like my movie are my age. They're in their 30s. They have kids. I've seen exactly one movie in the last 3 months in a theater. Two. I saw Looper and I saw The Master. And it's, so it's really hard for me to get out to see the movies. It's really easy for me to go to iTunes, you know, type in the details, and there it is. And I can watch it in the privacy of my own home. And you know, filmmakers and actors and all the people, you know, responsible for making the movie can benefit from that interaction. And at the same time, the movie gets to go into theaters and live on a big screen the way it was meant to. And people can see it that way. They want to see it that way.
So you think it's just all positives, though, this new release platform? You think there's no negatives to it?
Well, there's, for instance, I think my movie's a very dark comedy. And people, when I've seen it with an audience, people fall over laughing various places. Now, part of the deal of seeing something communally is that we take cues from each other in the theater, or we take cues from, just like the way we take cues from each other in a concert, and we listen to music differently when we're in private than we do when we're at a rock show. So with a movie where there's laughter, there's more laughter. It's infectious. So, you know, I think it's, I would appreciate it if everybody would run to the theater and see it in that kind of setting, and because I think there, once the laughter starts, there's permission to laugh, and people get it and they go with it. At home, it's a different experience. But I've seen a lot of great, funny movies at home. That, you know, I was too young to see The Man with Two Brains in a movie theater. I saw it at home. I thought it was hilarious. Scorsese's black comedies, you know, The King of Comedy or After Hours. I would have loved to have seen them in a theater. But I did. Yeah. I saw it at home, and I loved them. Loved them. So
I agree. I'm just worried if film's becoming this thing where you have to be a film fanatic to go see it at the theaters. That's my worry.
I don't think so.
Well,
I'm worried about that too. But as long as I've been working as a professional or observing the film business, I've noticed that there are a lot of trends and things ebb and flow, and things constantly change. And I think it's a little unpredictable to say that because right now things are moving in this direction towards this on-demand, you know, small movies get its, you know, small release on a VOD thing, and then they go to the theaters afterwards. And in 5 years, that could translate in a totally different way, you know.
Yeah.
It may be much easier to move the product around to theaters, and there's all kinds of scenarios that we could imagine or not imagine in the future where movies are on big screens, small movies are on big screens, big movies are on big screens. We just don't know.
Let me ask you about this. There's a rumor that floated around that you originally casted James McAvoy in the role before Tobey Maguire. Is that true?
Well, I originally wrote Tobey Maguire a letter and asked him would he please be in my movie, and I explained to him why I wanted him in my movie. And then we, there was a moment where we were going to meet, and we didn't meet, and then we started thinking, well, we're not sure that Toby's going to do this. And then James McAvoy called and expressed interest, and I met with James and loved. I'm a huge fan of James McAvoy, so I thought, that'll be great. So we started to actually even go into production with James. And there was a person, not the guy who eventually financed the movie, this other guy, whose name I'll not say, who stopped writing checks. We were up in Seattle about to shoot the movie. And in fact, we had even done a bunch of demos to this woman's house, a wonderful woman named Daphne, and we were about to rebuild it, and he stopped writing checks, and we had to go back to L.A. and find another source of financing for the movie. And in the meantime, James had other stuff that he had to go do, and we ran out of time with him, and he went off to go do Lincoln or something like that.
So wait, did you have to reshoot
it? And then Toby called and said, hey, I'll, you know, finally want to, you know, get together and talk about this. And we ended up hanging out in his house and talking about what I wanted to do. And a month later, we were shooting the movie.
So So you were actually prepping to shoot this whole thing with McAvoy, and then all of a sudden it was kind of like kismet that you and Toby finally had your meeting. Did Toby even know you were in pre-production on this thing that deep?
I'm sure he heard about it, yeah.
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 Well, that's good. I'm glad it turned out that way. Let me ask you about another thing you had going on. You and David Fincher are doing a project together. Is that accurate?
Well, there's a project that I've got at MRC called IOU.
Yeah.
That's about a guy who's deeply in debt. He's in his late 30s. He's got two kids. His wife doesn't know how badly in debt he is. He's about to lose his house. He's an insurance salesman. And he's looking for a solution to his problem. And he finds a company that promises to coach him back to profitability. And they tell him that they'll only succeed in his success and take a piece of his profit. They're like life coaches. And they grill him. They make him feel like he's being highly selected for. But what it turns out is it's a shadowy company, and they, even though their office is in a very substantial building and appears to be part of that business, they're actually con men.
Right.
And because this guy works at a Fortune 500 company, they're taking advantage of him and force him to do some corporate espionage, which gets him very deep in the doo-doo.
So it's kind of a thriller. It's kind of a thriller, huh?
Yeah, it's a very dense psychological thriller, very character-based. Christopher Walken would be great in it.
Chris Walken would be great. David Fincher does not lend his name, though, as a producer to a lot of projects. So how did you get Fincher to put his name on this thing?
I didn't get him to put his name on it.
Yeah.
This project originated with a producer named Josh Donnan and another guy named Russell Hollander. And I went in and started working with them. And now I'm, you know, working on it with the studio, MRC.
Well, that's great. And is Matt Reeves, by the way, still attached to direct your script, The Dark Endeavor?
I don't know. I think he is.
Okay.
Matt's a great guy. I did a draft of that for him, and I'm not sure exactly what he's doing with it right now.
Oh, that's good. Okay, so the details, once again, it's on video on demand right now. It's going to be in theaters November 2nd. Tobey Maguire's not the only person involved in this thing, though, and someone who you worked with on this, who I wanted to talk about because Joe Carnahan, who's a friend of mine, has worked on a couple films with him, is Ray Liotta.
Yes.
Yeah.
How did you get Ray Liotta involved in this project? Because the one thing I've heard about Ray and I know about Ray is if he champions a project, I mean, he really champions it. So was he someone you got involved early or later in the project, and why did you want Ray Liotta so bad?
Well, when I was casting the movie, I just kind of let the script float out there and to see who would come out of the woodwork and be interested in it. And I would get these amazing phone calls like Laura Linney wants to meet you or Ray Liotta wants to meet you. And so I would go off to some coffee shop and meet Laura Linney or Ray Liotta, who I really, really admire. And so I sat down with Ray at some hotel and had a coffee with him and started talking about the part.
Is coffee code for whiskey?
No, it was coffee. I never saw Ray Liotta drink any whiskey.
All right. We'll believe you.
I've never seen it.
Okay. Except when he had the flask on set and he's like, yeah, hold on, Jacob.
Consummate professional.
Yeah,
except,
no,
am I allowed to curse?
Yes, you can curse. You can curse.
Well,
say whatever you
want. Joke, whenever I would get too uptight, he would turn to me and he would say, "Jacob, get the sand out of your vagina." Which I found very funny.
We say that around here too a couple times.
Yeah, it sounds.
So when I text him now, I say, "Hey, it's Sandy Vagina calling you."
Leota's great. I mean, he's great. He's just a fantastic actor. Is it exciting to do a movie with... I mean, when Laura Linney's calling you or her people are calling you, is she at CAA as well? I know you're at CAA.
No. Laura Linney is at another... I think she's over at ICM. Okay. But
so
you know, it's
you up, and how does that work?
You know, we're out looking for the right person for these parts, and they're tricky. If you see the movie, you know, they're tricky parts to cast, and I kind of just declared that I wasn't just going to make offers to people. I wanted to meet them, and if possible, even read them for certain parts. And so, you know, we just started, you know, fielding phone calls from agents who said, so-and-so wants to meet. And with, you know, with the part that Laura played, there was such a wealth of amazing talent coming out for that part that it was almost embarrassing in the sense that, like, I admired almost everybody that I deeply admired. So many of the actresses that I met with for that part. And Laura we were at coffee over at, I think it's called the Hollywood Hills Cafe now, or the 101 Cafe over on Franklin in Hollywood, and we were talking about the part, and she said, you know, there's that scene where, and then she leaned towards me and just started doing it. playing the part basically while she was describing the scene, and I couldn't believe it.
Hopefully. I hope it was a sex scene, but in the coffee shop?
No, it wasn't the sex scene.
That's a little forward, Laura.
you know my feelings.
There was
Laura.
No sex scene.
No. All right. Well, whatever. I guess coffee and sex isn't that hot. It's not. It is.
It's not. You know, Laura Linney's like the girl you want to marry. She's like the one that you want to, like, bring home.
No, okay. 45 minutes ago.
Laura Linney is one of the most sexy, attractive women I've ever been around.
Oh, yeah, that's wrong.
Oh, my God.
45 minutes ago,
friend's
Mikey
mom.
Said...
Other than my wife, friend's who's also probably listening.
Oh,
and
well.
I said, like, the friend's mom you want to have sex with.
Well, if your wife is listening, I apologize about insinuating Laura Linney's putting the moves on you.
She's also one of the smartest, most intelligent people I've ever met.
Oh, good for Laura.
Dipping the biscotti in the coffee.
Oh, calm down. Sorry. Over there. Calm down with your... terrible puns. Is it fair to say, have you gotten this before, Jacob? Is it fair to say that your writing, there are some similarities in style between you and someone like David Gordon Green?
I don't know. I mean, I know David. David is...
I see the same type of dark humor with you guys and real-life situations that you use.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that we probably both admire similar films, but I'm pretty sure we do. And I've actually, with the details, I actually gave David the script and asked him for his feedback. And I can't remember what he told me, but I'm sure I took some of his advice to heart. But I mean, I can't really speak for David's sense of humor, but mine is really twisted and dark and bizarre, and I like to push jokes until they stop being funny. And I've noticed in David's broad comedies that he's been doing, is he likes to do that too. And certainly when he directs Jody Hill's TV show, he's Down and Down, they seem to love pushing the envelope as far as it can possibly go.
I love that. I love that show, He's Bound and Down. I love you.
Very
Bound
good.
And
yeah.
Me too.
By
me
the way,
too.
I also want to.
I mean,
mention...
I wish I could write like Larry David.
Wow.
Really?
I think he's the funniest. I think that show, Curb Your Enthusiasm, is one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
So let me ask you this. Why does Ray Liotta, gotta tell you, get sand on your vagina when you're a guy who just wrote a comedy? Are you an uptight guy?
No. Well, Ray is an alpha male. Ray's in control of himself and the situation, and he's a very intense guy. And sometimes to break through and give him some feedback or a note, you kind of have to, you know, get in there, you know, step in front of his field of view and say, hey, Ray. And so I have to be a little intense around somebody that's that intense. It's just kind of each actor, you know, has a different way of communicating. And And so then if I'm being intense, then maybe it looks like I've got sand in my vagina, and then maybe Ray wants to say, hey, get the sand out of your vagina. And then we both laugh about it.
Who are the people you could be the most, like, funny around, that you can have a good time with? Not saying you can't have a good time with Ray, but it sounds like you and Ray get into fucking staring contests or something.
No. All those actors are super fun to be around, and you just, part of the reason that you cast them is that you can kind of relate to them and feel like you're on the same level with them, and on some level you are, and part of the process of casting a movie is having that instinct. But when I cast Mean Creek, for instance, I didn't know it, but I cast a bunch of people from the Midwest. Why? Because I'm from Chicago. I didn't know.
That's right.
Wow.
That's right.
We're kind of funny.
I had a feeling, a communal feeling with these people and the way that they were relating to me and to the world, and had something to do with the Midwestern point of view. I can't prove that scientifically, but... It's the same way with Tobey Maguire or Elizabeth Banks or Laura Linney or Dennis.
Can I say something kind of shitty, Jacob?
Yes.
I'm going to be real with you for a minute.
Yeah, say whatever you want.
Can you please sell me on Elizabeth Banks?
Sell you?
She's cute. I just... There hasn't been a role yet where I'm like, wow.
Well, she's in a lot of Judd Apatow movies.
What am I missing?
Did you see my movie yet?
No, they didn't send me a copy.
Jesus Christ! Well, it's on iTunes. You can just pay $10 and see it right now.
Going to. I'm going to watch it tomorrow.
Matt, get the sand out of your vagina.
I'm getting the sand out of my vagina. So Elizabeth's great in this movie. Sell me.
Elizabeth's great. You have to wait until the last 15 minutes of the movie. The movie is very compartmentalized in a way. Like there's a section where Kerry Washington
I love her.
Takes over
you don't
the movie
help
for
yet, Kerry.
There's a Ray Liotta section. There's a Laura Linney section, and then at the very end of the movie, after Toby's done all of his misdeeds and kept a secret from his wife the whole time, the joke at the end of the movie is that he has to confess his sins to his wife. And that's Elizabeth's huge, huge scene in the movie, and it's a doozy. And she is she's a comedian, and she's very funny, but she's also, I had seen her in a movie called The Heights, I believe it was called. I knew she could, is that right, The Heights?
I'm going to take your word on it. I don't remember.
I think it was called The Heights. But it's whatever it was called. It was a very dramatic role for her, and she was fantastic in it. Just fantastic. She's an actor.
All I know is the last movie I saw her in was that Man on a Ledge, and it was the biggest steaming pile of shit I ever seen.
Well, you didn't like Zach and Miri Make a Porno?
Oh, you know, I did like her in that.
It was great.
She was great in that.
So let me tell you, you want me to sell you on her? So she,
yeah.
So
well, it seems like I'm forgetting some movies I did like her in, actually.
She's great. She's great.
She is great.
She's got all the talent in the world. In fact, so
I believe that. She's like a hot shelf handler.
now, hold on.
We're about to shoot this scene. We're about to shoot the scene where Toby confesses his sins, and he's got about 5 pages of dialogue to deliver. And I look over at her script, and she has meticulously worked out beat by beat what her internal monologue is going to be during the course of his confession. And one of the very funny things about that scene, if you watch the movie carefully, is that you can anticipate, you can see that she's anticipating what he's about to say right before he's about to say it, because she's extrapolating his story and is ahead of him in a very believable, naturalistic way. And it makes everything extremely funny because we're sitting there thinking, oh my God, what is this woman thinking? Oh my God, she's thinking this. She's realizing Toby is involved in a murder before he says it. And it was such a beautiful performance on her part. And when you see the movie and you see this eight-page scene, we had 2 takes. It's all 2 takes.
All right, take your word. I'm going to take your
word. Yeah, sounds good.
I'm going to see her tonight, I'm going to watch it tonight. I didn't see Hunger Games, which she was in, I guess.
Yeah, I didn't see Hunger Games.
I didn't see Hunger Games either.
I couldn't watch Our Idiot Brother, just not my company.
No. But we did see, hold on. Yeah, but we saw, what's the other one that we saw? No, the one me and you and Len saw with the kid and Sandler.
She wasn't in that.
No. But
That's My Boy?
Yeah, what was that?
Why are you bringing up That's My Boy?
I don't
what
know.
What does it have to do with anything?
Keep talking.
40-year-old Virgin, remember
that?
That
was great in that movie.
You know, 40-year-old Virgin was good, yeah. That
yeah,
was good.
Was.
But come on, Fred Claus? No, no, no. Fred Claus wasn't my cup. Okay, so she's good in this one.
Well, she's not coming on the show now.
Oh, listen, I like her, and I'd love her to come on the show. And I hear she's in the Lego movie that Chris Miller and Phil Lord are doing.
Lenny's going to love her.
Right. So I'm a big fan of hers, and I would love to see her in person, of course. But I just need to be wowed right now.
Is Elizabeth Banks as much fun?
I think she'll wow you.
I need to be wowed, damn it. If Matthew Aaron's not being wowed, it's not worth it, damn it.
Yeah, we know. Trust
That's
me.
Right.
We know.
That's right. But the details, I wanted to tell our listeners, you can also order it on Amazon Instant Video, which I didn't get in my press details, but I just saw. I was on Amazon. I was diddling up Elizabeth Banks' credits. And don't get crazy. I didn't mean diddling like that, Louise. Calm down. But, I saw it's on Amazon. So there you go, too. You can watch it on Amazon. What is that? Are you talking about?
I heard you guys are in Chicago right now. What are you doing in Chicago?
I'm in Chicago for a few more weeks, and then I'm shooting my pilot out in L.A. in December, January-ish.
Okay.
And actually, I'm in Chicago. We're doing the show tonight from my mother's basement.
Yes, very exciting.
Aurora, Illinois.
So no. You're in Aurora right now?
No,
we're next to Aurora-ish.
East. We're farther east.
I grew up in Chicago.
Oh, well, I'm in Downers Grove right now. Where in Chicago did you grow up?
I grew up in Wrigleyville.
Oh, you grew up in Chicago.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Listen,
yeah.
When people in Chicago say they grew up in Chicago, they never really grew up in the city. So I'm a little thrown.
I grew up right next to Wiener Circle.
Really?
Oh, Wiener Circle?
Yeah.
You see,
saw some chocolate milkshakes.
I had some chocolate malt. Yes. When I was a teenager, one time a friend of mine got so drunk, she was in my building and she couldn't stand up, so she mumbled something about wanting to go to the Wiener Circle. So we put her on a luggage cart and we wheeled her down the street to the luggage to the Wiener Circle, and we ordered her the chocolate malt that she had mumbled about, and she sort of sat upright, started slurping down the chocolate malt, and then puked all over the.
That's nice.
Well, I was referring to another chocolate milkshake over at the Wiener Circle. I mean, Jacob, I'm sure you know about the big black woman with the huge boobies that she'll show you them for like $5.
I've heard of them. I've heard about how mean they are.
You've heard of them. I like how it's them. Like both her boobs.
Do they still have their own reality show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Her boobs or the Wiener Circle?
I thought it was both. But
both, yeah.
No, Jacob, yeah, you've heard about it? Yeah, she'll give you a shimmy for $5.
Yeah, you have to order a chocolate milkshake.
Okay. Yeah. I did, it never happened to me.
No,
it never happened to Jacob or any of us either.
Right. You know, her new thing is if Jacob walked in there, and this is no offense to you, Jacob, but this is what she says to any skinny guy like yourself, she'd be like, look at that Harry Potter looking motherfucker.
I won't get that. People think I'm Vince Vaughn or something like that.
Vince Vaughn? Oh, that.
Yeah. And then I'm always having to ask, the thin young Vince Vaughn or the bloated Vince Vaughn? Which one?
Let me ask you about this, since you are from Chicago. Why is every celebrity from Chicago a jagoff?
Every celebrity from Chicago is a jagoff?
Come on, a good
Come
deal.
On.
And you know
what
this.
Are you talking about? Name one.
Yes, me.
Oh, Maddie's getting ready to become a jagoff in about 5 years.
Listen, I'm on my way. Matt's... And I'm with the Jeremy Pivens and the Johnny Cusacks and the Vince Vaughns. We're all going to be huge jagoffs. I'm catching up to them slowly.
He's a little jagoff right now.
Do you? Come on, Jacob. You've heard the story. Some of these guys are a little bit of assholes.
What are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about.
The whiskey, the whiskey.
All right. I guess this is one of those conversations Jacob and I need to have over coffee at a hotel, bar like Ray Liotta does.
Jacob, what's your favorite restaurant in Chicago?
My favorite.
Oh, with the hard-hitting question. Boom. Fab Walters over here.
I know Mikey wants to know.
I would.
I have a lot of friends who claim that the cuisine in Chicago is superb, but whenever I go there, I just, get these mountains of carbohydrates on my plate.
That
makes me want to puke, and I can eat a lot of food, but for the experience, my favorite thing, if I was going to take somebody somewhere, if they only could go to one restaurant, I'd take them to Gene and Giorgetti's just for the experience.
All right,
Another Gene and Giorgetti's.
Another Gene and Giorgetti's.
That's Mike Binder's
you
favorite.
You just moved up on the list.
All right, Mike Binder and now Jacob with the Gene and Giorgetti's.
Yeah, Gene Micheletti would be really happy
there. What's the Gene and Giorgetti's?
It's a classic joint,
Manny. I know
Manny.
It's a classic, but it is like a lot of people's favorite.
It's because it's one people know.
The food's not, I took my wife there and she ordered mussels, and the mussels, which was a mistake, she didn't know that, but the mussels were the size of tennis balls and about just as rubbery. Oh. I have no idea if the food's good. I'm talking about the wallpaper and ambiance.
Okay. Well, that's why Binder filmed the show there for Mind of a Married Man. He loved the ambiance of it.
Mm-hmm.
That carpet, like 80 years old.
It's vintage.
Yeah, the carpet vintage. That's a nice way.
It opened up in 1946, I think.
Yeah, that carpet's old. They haven't changed it.
No, they haven't.
Yeah, it's vintage.
If the cast of the details was in Chicago, that's where I'd take them.
Oh, are you going to do a movie in Chicago?
I'd like to.
You and Vince Vaughn and Jeremy Piven and John Cusack, you all got to get together and do a movie in Chicago?
I'm a fan of all of them.
That's politically correct. Continue.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm a fan of theirs, too. I'm a fan, too. But let's just be honest. I've heard some shitty things about John Cusack, like real shitty.
Well, like what?
Oh, come on. I love how Jacob's playing dumb with me here.
Manny, I don't know what you're talking about. What bad story?
I don't concentrate on the negative.
Yeah.
I'm trying to accentuate the positive.
You know what?
Come on.
That's how you continue working.
He's
so
from
good
Chicago.
For you.
He knows.
Yeah, by the way, there's a career for you in politics if you'd like.
Yeah, definitely.
I'll be as in politics as anybody, but... I actually don't know these people, so
By the way, all three of those guys, I will say talented dudes. Right?
Very talented. Don't know them. I've heard a lot of horror stories about different people, and then I meet them, and then I wonder where those horror stories
Who's
come from.
Who's the one person you heard a horror story about, and then you met them, and you were like, this person's amazing?
Matthew Aaron.
I can't think of anybody right now.
I'm talking to Rahm Emanuel on the phone.
Because I think they're amazing, I'm not going to defame them on radio. Yeah.
I'll tell you, Jacob, I'll tell you a story. I'll do it.
Okay.
When I was having Joe Carnahan on my show for the first time, I thought, and by the way, I'm doing a show with Joe now. I thought he was going to be the biggest jagoff ever.
No, he's a cool guy.
He's great.
I think Joe's best line is, come on, pal, you're fucking up a cheese sandwich. I love that. It's two pieces of bread and a slice of cheese.
It happened. It happened. And, there are some people out there. Yeah. So, you know what? Maybe you're right. Maybe I just need to spend some time with Vinnie Vaughn and see that he's a great guy.
Well, the only reason I would give Vince Vaughn shit is because of his political affiliation.
He's very Republican, yes.
I would be happy to give him shit for that. But, yeah, I don't know him personally, but what's he smoking?
Well, you and Cusack would make good friends. You and Cusack would be besties then. He's very much about President Obama.
I'm not even talking about President Obama.
Oh,
you're talking
politics
about, how a man can get behind the devil.
That's interesting. I feel like you could talk a lot about politics.
I could probably, yeah.
You could probably. is it safe to say you're voting for President Obama?
I will be voting for President Obama, yeah.
In fact,
if you go to my Facebook page, if you pull my Facebook page up, I wrote a rap recently.
I didn't even know you had a Facebook page.
Yeah, look me up. There's a great rap on there. If you want, you can read it on the air.
Oh, well, I got to find you now. Is it like a personal Facebook page, or is it like a fan page, or what?
Jacob, it's just my Facebook page. I don't know. I don't know how to get it. Isn't it just a search engine? Do you want me to read it to you?
Yeah, read it to me. Read me your rap.
Okay, I'm walking into the office, and I'm turning on my computer.
Okay. All right.
It might take me a second, so you guys can feel free.
Oh, here we go. Jacob Estes. You just don't go by Jacob Aaron. I see.
Right. I don't know if my rap is public.
Adding friends for 7 days.
What's that?
He had you?
What the fuck is it about? Facebook.
You want to hear it?
Had you.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, you ready? This is MC Romney.
Oh,
I'm not gonna rap, but
come on, you gotta rap it.
No, I won't do it. I won't do it.
You know it'll be.
You 47% motherfuckers can suck it. Ask me any fucking question and you know that I can duck it. I got every position in the universe covered. I got a 5-point plan and a binder full of women. He beatboxes for a while, then
but you're not gonna do the beatboxing?
No. All right, you ready? I'm going to keep going.
Continue.
You 40% motherfuckers don't try it. You punks are all weak on your food stamp diet. You foreign-ass fools say you want details. You're just a bunch of Europeans who want to save the whales. I got Ryan. I got Rove. What you got, gay rights? Fuck that homo shit in your full essence lights. Then he beatboxes some more. This is Romney. This is not my point of view. This is Romney.
Okay.
Anybody tuning in? He beatboxes some more and then... Yeah, as you know, I'm a conservative god. My vagina probes will be the fattest rod. That's where you laugh. I'll keep your AK-47 legal just like your Glock. I'll strap your dog on your roof and drive you clear around the block. Yes, you can self-deport because conditions will be bad, but my parents were born in Mexico, so don't get mad. I'll take Big Bird and abortion, and I'll shut it down, and I'll balance the budget because my style's renowned. You want to know how I'll do it? Loopholes, that's the way. Trust me, motherfucker, because I ran Bing. Then you beatbox with some more, and then the music fades down.
Can I tell you something? And you're not going to like me for this, Jacob. But if Mitt Romney did do that rap, I'd probably like the guy a lot.
If he did do that rap, I would like him more.
I would probably be like, you know, the guy tells it like it is, I guess.
He's got some balls.
He knows himself.
He's got a bite.
He knows himself.
I love how Jacob and I both had very political post today. My political post was about, you know, me not caring about anything except my boner meds.
Yeah, it's P.O. Box, Matthew Aaron.
Man, I think that's kind of more of a personal issue.
Yeah, we'll leave it.
I thought it was a good post.
Crickets.
Okay. You didn't like it, Mike?
I'm just saying, you know, you see, Alice might be the new currency.
Listen, pal, I think you're right. I think I'm going to be tipping guys, a 29-year-old tipping Cialis at the doors.
You get the Walmart greeter, just kind of slip one on the way
the
in.
The Walmart
like,
greeter?
He turns around and looks at you, give him the wink, and he's like, does the whole like jump up and down. You know, you just never know.
I'm just reading my post, though, and I realized Jacob and I wrote the complete opposite things today. Because his was like about Mitt Romney. Mine was about, I don't give a shit about anything, just give me my boner meds.
Oh, that's one way to look at
that's
it.
That's how I really feel, too. So.
Jacob, you're on Facebook. You just got on Twitter. Like, have you noticed that with this election, and I don't really want to talk about politics that much, as the election is like really, really, I mean, I've seen more anger towards people and more hatred towards people than ever.
Well, I think it's because, you know, the other thing I noticed, I don't know if you watched the debate, but the debates are like these gotcha, like you're a pee-pee head, I'm a pee-pee head, you're wrong, I'm wrong. It's like the whole thing has turned into a total circus. And I was thinking about why that is. And I think it has to do with the way the media is reporting the stories. You know, they, instead of actually soberly talking about facts and, you know, whose positions represent, you know, truth and what will the outcomes be of these various positions. it was never perfect, but I mean, even 8 years ago, even 15 years ago, it felt like there was a much more sober, you know, response from the media, and then everything became Geraldo Rivera and Fox News and who all these pundits, you know, mouthing off about who said what and who did what and this gaffe and that gaffe, and it's become it's rubbed off on these candidates because they have to act like big monkeys in order to impress people.
That's kind of true.
And it's almost like you might as well just make a big monkey meter, because that's how we're judging our candidates right now.
It was kind of ridiculous watching them try to like have an interrupt off yesterday during the debate.
It's almost embarrassing.
But if he didn't, you would say he's weak. So yeah, what's that?
You know, Jacob, I got to tell you, this is the one point that regardless of, you know, where your political feelings lie, I have to agree 100%, you know, and a lot of people can come together on this, is that, you know, whether it's a conservative or liberal or whatever, it doesn't even matter. This whole process of a campaign run and what it turns into is just become such a huge turnoff to me. I mean, I wish they turned to cut it in half. I for the last 4 or 5 months, I can't go on Facebook. I can't turn on the TV. I've just started reading books again because I just can't stand it anymore.
Yeah, wait, you started reading books again?
Yeah.
Again, you stopped, obviously.
Well, when I was in the car business.
Which book did you start reading again? Give me the title of it right now, Mikey.
Rick Warren's Purpose-Driven Life.
What?
Rick Warren's Purpose-Driven Life, and I got the 48 Laws of Power.
Are we sure those are real books?
Yeah.
Can we get a fact checker on
that? And
then
there's another one I just ordered called The Way to a Superior Male or something like that. I can't remember the exact name.
Can I tell you the most disturbing thing about Romney to me?
Okay, what is it?
Okay, since I've got the radio,
yes,
being a hostage for a second, it's not what I think he'll actually do or accomplish, although he may do some things and accomplish some things that I would hate. But it's that he's got the bully pulpit. He's got everyone's attention, and he's lying through his teeth about his own ideas that he held just 4 years ago or 8 years ago. And I don't care if you have a slow evolution of thought on something and come to a conclusion slowly over your life, but this is a guy who will literally switch positions in 3 days. And everyone knows it, and they're watching him do it, and it's acceptable behavior because the value is that he's going to win. That's the value. And that's
well,
a terrible
just about
message.
Winning and losing.
It's a horrible message to be telling people.
It's
like, is that okay? That we should win at any cost? Is that the goal here? I don't think that's the goal. The goal is whether or not, you know, you can actually lower the deficit and bring dignity to people who are in poverty or bring rights to disenfranchised women. You know, the goal isn't winning. So,
no.
Jacob should be a politician, like I said. You should go into politics. You're in the wrong business. Well, you're in the right business. You need to get into two businesses. Clone yourself.
Well, do you have any more questions about the details?
I do not.
I might have some answers for you.
Oh, you have more. You've had enough Romney talk, and now I got to talk about the details again. Okay. Well, listen, here's what I do want to say about the details. I want to remind people it's in theaters November 2nd. It's on demand right now on your on-demand cable provider. It is on Amazon.com. You can watch it, and you can order it right now. It's a dark comedy. And it's Ray Liotta. If you listen to this show and you don't like Ray Liotta, go fuck yourself. And Tobey Maguire, and here's what we learned during this interview.
Christopher Walken.
We learned a lot about Christopher Walken.
I actually like more Elizabeth Banks films than I thought.
Yes.
And she's actually a talented producer, too, which I forgot about.
That's two.
And she's hot. Three.
That's three. You knew that.
Laura Linney's in this film, who I love.
Love
and
Laura.
We all want to bang.
Yes. Four.
Three was Tobey Maguire in his first adult role. He's an adult in this, and it's a dark, dark comedy. Toby does some things in this movie you've never seen Toby do before. Four, it's written, directed by Jacob Aaron Estes, who did the fantastic Mean Creek. So based off of that alone, and by the way, if you haven't seen Mean Creek,
go see it.
Yeah, I'm not pandering here or bullshitting. You've got to go out of your way to see this movie. If you haven't seen Mean Creek, it came out in 2004. It's fantastic, especially if you love movies like Stand By Me or
The Goonies.
Yeah, stuff. Well,
not so much.
I mean,
the comedic.
It's a little more serious.
Yeah,
but, yes.
But that same thing with the camaraderie, the kids.
Yeah,
there is
that. So Mean Creek, definitely see that. Five, and this is the fifth thing I learned during this interview, is I really want to see Mitt Romney rap and beatbox.
You should send Mitt Romney that rap.
And six,
we forgot to mention Dennis Haysbert.
I love Dennis Haysbert. We did mention it before you came on. We were talking about him being in this film because we were talking about how he's so great on Allstate. And the problem with Dennis is no one will ever think of him as anything other than the president.
No one will ever know that it's Dennis when they watch this movie.
Oh, really?
Until afterwards. So,
like Dennis undercover?
He has a. We shaved his hair. We gave him a big white beard. He's got really bad teeth. He's playing a character he's never played before.
Wow, that's good.
Well, he kind of played a similar character in Heat. That's not true. If you saw Heat, but that was a while ago.
Yeah, I love that movie.
But you're saying
he's not like Serrano in Major League here.
No, I don't even remember.
He doesn't make
Bert come
back
in the shower in that movie. Yeah. We have him naked in the shower, too.
Oh, man.
We do.
That's good. I was going to ask you, Jacob. I would hope when I'm out in L.A. in a few weeks, you'll come sit down with me and do another show. I'd love to keep talking to you.
That would be great. I think I got to go to Chicago to visit my mother very, very soon, although she's coming here for Thanksgiving. So when I do go to Chicago... I'll Twitter you or something.
No, I'll be in L.A.
Oh, you'll be in L.A. Oh,
yeah.
I'm in L.A.
Well, that's good.
Be in L.A. too, as a matter of fact.
And I'll add you on Facebook once Facebook unbans me.
Are you really banned on Facebook?
Yeah, I'm banned from communicating with people who are not my friends for 6 days because there were a couple people. Here's something I've learned, and I haven't shared this with anyone sitting here yet. When you have fans who are not necessarily fans and they send you shitty messages, you could get banned from Facebook from sending back just a shitty message back to them.
Yes, you can.
So, you mean if you curse at them and tell them nasty things?
I think I was baited. I think that was the plan all along, and I think they pulled on me once they
were set
got
up.
My response
yeah,
back.
He was baited.
Well, as people know, if you're a fan of the show...
Do they delete your profile, or do they just sort of slap you on the wrist and say you can't talk to anybody for 7 days?
I'm not allowed to communicate with anyone who's not an added friend. People can add me, I can't add them, and I can't talk to anybody that's not already a friend.
So they put you in time.
Until what? What do you have to do? Do you have to apologize?
No, I have 6 more days. It literally says 6 days and like the hours and the minutes.
He's been grounded by Facebook. Mark Zuckerberg.
Zuckerberger
grounded Matthew.
I'll tell you exactly what it says when I try adding Jacob on Facebook. We received feedback that you sent. We know what we sent at this point. So you won't be able to send any kind of communication for 7 days. Learn more. If you think you're seeing this by mistake, please let us know. The block will be active for 6 days and 15 more hours more.
You're a bad boy. You are you able to sleep at night?
No, I got set up.
You know, I've heard that before from a lot of guilty people.
People know that if you're a fan of this show or you listen to this show, I talk to everybody that sends me an email. I email everyone back. I Twitter everyone back. I Facebook everyone back. And
what did you say? Well, I'm dying to hear.
He was ripping on my pilot that we're making. I went on Facebook and I was like, I was talking about how congratulations to everyone that's worked hard on this. We're making a pilot. I'm going to be sitting down with a lot of guests. We're going to be talking shop. And this guy basically, first he sent back a little message that said dinner for five. Okay, that's cute. All right, whatever. Cool. Then I sent back a message that was somewhere along the lines of, and then he basically said, I'm a
I'm ripping off Jon Favreau, and I'm a terrible human being. Except nastier language.
Hey, is Jon Favreau from Chicago?
He lived here for a few years. He's from New York, but he spent like 4 or 5 years here for Second City and acting and such. He got casted in Rudy.
Rudy's amazing. Jon Favreau's amazing. What
Rudy's
a good act.
Movie. I love Rudy.
I want to see Jon Favreau in a leading role.
And I love Jon
Favreau. Yeah, I do love Jon Favreau.
I think he'd be great in a leading role. I think he's great.
You should have him on your show, Maddie.
Yeah. Well, I'm wondering if that was like Jon Favreau under a fake Facebook name writing me that message.
Actually, the guy that called in who said he was Christopher Walken was actually Jon Favreau.
Good one, Jacob. There you go.
That makes sense.
I've been wondering the whole time.
That means Favreau's out to get me.
We actually thought it might have been you at first.
Yeah, we were thinking.
I know. That's why I had to call in to prove that it wasn't me. I was starting to get worried.
That's a good point.
Yeah, for a second there, I'm like, interesting guest.
I don't know. Mikey always says to me, Maddie, you got to take more phone calls. And every time I take a phone call, it's a fucking weirdo.
Yeah, but it's great for
every,
the show. It's
every
hilarious.
Fucking time. I don't have normal people that call in. And
now
then when
you,
I do get a normal person, it's Jacob's mother-in-law who hates my gut.
You hang up on her mother.
You know, all I'm going to tell you is that you should do it more often, because now you can advertise that you had Jacob and Christopher Walken on the show.
Right. We had a powerhouse. I will hit up the Hollywood Reporter tonight and be like, check out my interview with Jacob and Chris Walken.
Yeah, we'll alert the media.
Jacob's going to say, I had to call in because Walken was stealing my thunder.
Jacob would be fun on this show that we're doing. He'd be great on the director.
Let me ask you a question. Are you sure it wasn't Christopher Walken?
No, yes. I'm not sure, but yes.
I mean, it wasn't that good of a Christopher Walken impression.
Yeah, it was.
But maybe Christopher Walken doesn't do a very good Christopher Walken impersonation.
That's a good point.
Well, I know
maybe that's what was so tricky about it. Like, that's why it threw you off, because it really was Christopher Walken.
That's true. It could have been. I think the odds are better that it was Jon Favreau than Christopher Walken.
Maybe it was James Lipton.
Maybe it was Jimmy Lipton.
Yeah.
Jimmy Lips. Lips. That would be James Lipton's gangster name.
Jimmy Lips. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Jimmy Lip, the Lipston.
Why do you call him Jimmy Lips? He never talks. You know?
He always talks.
I know.
You don't shut the fuck up.
Jimmy Two Tones.
By the way, I love James Lipton.
I do. Great guy.
He was statusing on my thing last night on the Facebook.
I know.
I just became friends with James Lipton on Facebook.
All right.
We got some mutuals.
There you go.
Wait, let's see who we have in common.
Can you find out yet?
Yeah. You can't. Jody Hill, who never goes on Facebook, I don't think. Jennifer Todd, who will never hire me in my life. She now pretty much runs Affleck and Damon's company.
Oh, okay.
Jimmy Lipton. Jimmy Lips.
Dang.
He's on the book.
Jimmy Lips.
The lip.
Jeff Schneider over at Variety. I love Jeff. Michael Sugar. Nicholas Stein. Roger Ebert. Steve Pink. Ian McKenzie Jeffers. That's my guy. I love Ian. Ian's the best. Do you know Ian? Do you know Ian, or just in the like Facebook sense?
I think I only know him in the Facebook sense. Other people I know, but who is he again?
It's that Ian McKenzie Jeffers. He's stalking people down too.
Who is he? I forget.
He's the writer. He co-wrote The Gray with Joe Carnahan this year.
Oh yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
All right. What happened?
Did you see The Gray?
I did. I did see The Gray. The one about the wolf. We talking about the movie about the wolves?
Yes, the movie about the wolves.
It was Liam Neeson.
Yeah, I enjoy a good movie about guys in the wilderness getting hunted down by animals. I like it. In fact, The Details is partially about getting hunted down by animals.
But by animals, you mean a woman?
No, there's a raccoon infestation, and Tobey Maguire's.
Yeah, that's how the movie.
Beginning of the movie, he's trying to eradicate raccoons. And that's what starts all his trouble.
Raccoons are a mean animal, by the way.
My brother-in-law had a raccoon for a pet growing.
They're mean. They're mean.
They're very, very intelligent.
They are extremely.
I think that they're bears. I mean, the fact that they're surviving in America.
Raccoons are more intelligent than Alex Luisi.
If raccoons could talk, they might be.
They got their own language, though. Yeah,
they
got their own language.
Oh, yeah, they got thumbs and everything.
Disposable.
Do they have thumbs?
Yeah.
Well, the one thing about my movie that's true is that I went to war with raccoons that were destroying my garden.
Oh. Where, I had a woodchuck and a raccoon that I go. I went two summers. I fought this thing, and actually, I finally got it. This thing was vicious. I hit it over the head with a shovel, and it still jumped on me. I mean, I was ready to go get the gun. It was like it was like Battle Royale, and it was like a 30-pound raccoon.
Battle Royale.
I had this gardener who's a Korean War vet, 85-year-old guy named Yosef Cornell, and he had this bright idea. This is after a year of trying to get rid of the raccoons unsuccessfully, that we would put a big fishing net over our backyard, and we would put fried chicken in the middle, and we would string the net up into a tree with a pulley, and we would hang out in my garage at night, and when the raccoons would come, we were going to pull them up into the net, and we actually tried it on my dog, and it worked like magic.
But you never got the raccoon.
Well, it's better than that. So the first night, the raccoons, after a year of terrorizing my yard, they just don't show up. And so we tried a second night, and at about 3 in the morning, the raccoon, the big alpha raccoon, he came down, and he skirted the edge of the net. He knew it was there. And he walked over to the garage, and my garage is a converted garage. I have a glass door on it, and that's where I sit in there and I write. And he stands up and looks into the glass at us inside the office and taps the glass with his fingers. Swear to God. And then we packed up our stuff when the sun came up. He ran away as soon as we got near the door. And we packed up our stuff, and they had not come during the day ever in a whole year of terrorizing my backyard. And I woke up the next morning, and my wife told me to look outside, and the raccoon had come back, not looking for worms underneath the sod, which is what they're going for. He had torn up the backyard. Like, every little bit of sod was just demolished. He just came back on a revenge mission.
Oh, yeah, they're terrible. Little
you had a raccoon that came back a year later?
No. This was the net. This is after we packed up the net, put it away. I got into bed at about 6 in the morning, and about 6:30 in the morning, he snuck back out into the yard and just destroyed the yard. Just destroyed it.
Yeah, they're vicious. Just out of curiosity, why fried chicken?
My Korean War vet gardener thought fried chicken would be a good idea. I didn't argue with him. He seemed to know what he was talking about.
If you set that up again, you might catch Lee.
I just want to know why Jacob is hiring 85-year-old Korean war vets.
Well, I actually have a why.
You do have a why?
I do have a why. I have a friend who helped me remodel my house. And, in fact, his name is James Bond. I'm not kidding. His name's James Bond. and I asked James who I could hire to help me work out the design for my garden, and he said, "Yeah, I've got this friend. His name's Yosef, and he comes and he draws, and he'll charge you only $100, and he'll draw your whole garden for you. And then, if you want, you can hire him to install the garden and help you out." And I sat down with this guy, and he started telling me all these great stories, and so it was kind of like I got a friend and a gardener all at once.
Oh, that's good. That's good, and you made a good friend out of a Korean War vet. I'm going to ask you a couple random questions before I let you go. Just stuff on the top of, off the top of my head here. What's your favorite Burt Reynolds movie?
My favorite Burt Reynolds movie would have to be Deliverance.
Not Sharky's Machine?
It's Deliverance.
No, Smokey and the Bandit?
No, it's Deliverance.
No, it's Deliverance. Deliverance is one of my favorite movies, so it's naturally my favorite Burt Reynolds movie.
Can you watch Deliverance more than once, though, honestly?
I've watched Deliverance probably 15 to 20 times in my life. Oh. I have studied Deliverance.
Jacob, you don't find that to be a little odd, huh?
It just keeps drawing me back. What can I say?
You at least skip the scene with Ned Beatty, right? Yeah, yes.
I get it. I get it all too well.
No, I didn't ask if you get it. I say you skip it, right? You on the remote.
No, I get it. I actually get down on my hands and knees and I enact it while it's happening.
Okay, next question. All right, what was the other one I was thinking of? Oh, so last week we did this expose on Steven Seagal.
Seagal, I'm not going to have an answer. I don't really know.
Steven Seagal or Jean-Claude Van Damme, and why?
Oh. Well, what...
what am I choosing them for? Like erotic dancing or
just who you like more?
Erotic dancing.
I can't.
Yeah, Stephen.
Well,
you're all in.
What I'm choosing it for? Like
your
who's going to make my chicken dinner? Like what's the like? Give me a scenario.
Who would win?
Would I want to play?
And let's do 2 out of 3. Who would win in a fight? Who would you want to have dinner with, and whose movies are better? Go.
Oh, well, Jean-Claude Van Damme would definitely beat him in a fight.
Okay, Jean-Claude.
He looks much scrappier. He's in better shape. He looks like he'd just take out Steven Seagal's legs and cream him.
I think Jean-Claude with the cocaine, he just does like one line of cocaine, allegedly, and he'll just start.
I've never heard that. I don't know where you're getting
it from. Oh, God.
He's never heard anything.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
But I believe Steven Seagal is a Republican.
Okay.
So I'm going to go with Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Here's what else I've learned about Jacob. Jean-Claude Van Damme could do a line of coke right in front of Jacob's face. Right in front. And then he could pass the line to Jacob, and Jacob, of course, will say no. But Jacob will say, I have no idea about Jean-Claude Van Damme and cocaine. I never heard of that in my life.
Well, if we were ever... at a place where we were in private and we were talking about Jean-Claude Van Damme and everything I know about his drug habits, I might tell you in private.
Oh, that's fantastic. I'll be there just for that moment. Okay.
Over coffee.
So Jean-Claude Van Damme or Steven Seagal to dinner? It would probably cost more to go out.
I would take Steven Seagal.
You don't mind spending that?
No, it'd probably be a little bit more interesting. Yeah,
it would be more interesting. Does Jean-Claude Van Damme even speak English?
Well, yeah, he speaks French. English. He speaks English, though.
Yeah.
He's French?
But he also speaks English. He is French.
Okay.
No, he's from Belgium.
Belgium. Yeah, okay.
Whatever.
Close enough, Mikey. The French, the Belgian, they're all the same.
I could go for some Belgian chocolate. Right
I now. Knew you were going to say chocolate or waffles.
Oh, good call. Well, how
Listen,
about both? We'll do both.
No, I refuse to have waffles out here because it ain't Roscoe's. Okay, so number 3, though. All right, so you go to dinner with Seagal. Whose movies are better? And be honest, I know you've seen these movies. I know you've had some of them.
Well, I've never seen one of their movies. I've seen Jean-Claude Van Damme's movies.
What?
Maybe. I might have seen
time
them. Name the greatest hits from both of them.
All right, Steven Seagal, Out to Kill, Hard to Kill, Above the Law, Under Siege 2, Exit Wounds, Jean-Claude Van Damme, Time Cop,
Bloodsport,
Lionheart, Nowhere to Run, JCVD, which I think you'd actually like JCVD. That's actually a really good movie. Expendables 2.
Street Fighter.
I'm going to be totally honest. I've never seen any of these movies.
I cannot believe this.
Not a single one.
So you will watch Ned Beatty get fucking fucked 20 times, but you can't watch Bloodsport one fucking time?
Oh, I will watch it, but I'm just telling you I haven't watched it. I'd be happy to watch
really,
it.
That's okay. You know, who's seen any of those movies? I mean...
Man, we've learned
a
lot
about
this.
I mean, you only write movies for a living and direct them, so.
He writes good movies.
He does, yeah. Those are. I guess there's a little bit of a clarification there.
I'm afraid. I was going to invite Jacob over and like show him Bloodsport or something, but I'm afraid Jacob sees Bloodsport and then his next couple movies come out and they're all awful. And like it's my fault that his writing style started to go downwards because of Bloodsport.
Yeah, next thing you know, he's doing movies in Hong Kong with Jackie Chan.
Hey, that was a good movie.
That sounds
awesome.
It was
a terrible movie.
Do you like foreign films, Jacob?
I don't know. I don't give them any special like place in my heart. But
thank God.
With foreign films. I mean,
they're extremely cheesy.
Mikey hates. I show him some Asian movies. He hates.
Well,
them.
He tells you, Mikey, the stuff coming out of Hong Kong is great. I got this Jackie Chan movie. It's wonderful. And this movie's from like 2008. The starting comes on. I feel like I just turned on the Godzilla game from Nintendo with the cheesy like electronic tones, and then they do this sweeping scape of the city, and it looks like the cityscape in New York from the 1995 Spider-Man cartoon. I mean, it was just horrendous.
Jacob has nothing.
Well,
no, he's never.
Mean,
he doesn't even.
There's some great foreign films because there's a lot of state supported films. So there's films being made that otherwise wouldn't get made, or that are being made for a different reason than the reasons that we make movies in Hollywood. So there tends to be from time to time some really great movies that just wouldn't be produced here in Los Angeles.
The French do some good movies. I got to call.
I was just showing my 7-year-old daughter a great Iranian film called Children of Heaven. Amazing movie.
There you go. Okay.
Movie. It would never be made in the United States, but it's fantastic. It's like a movie that would have been made in 1974 in the United States.
Last question, then we'll plug the details one more time, and then I need to talk to Chucky about his love life. Yes. Does it help to be a movie buff when it comes to writing and directing? And what movies inspired you, or people, or directors, or writers?
It helps to love the form that you're working in, that's for sure, right? I mean, whatever it is. I'm inspired by all kinds of people and artists that are out there, living and dead. I mean, Stanley Kubrick, Sidney Lumet, or Lumet, or however you say his name, I can never remember. And Paul Thomas Anderson inspires me. I think he's fantastic.
Did you like The Master?
I love The Master.
It was such a quality movie.
It was no Looper. Looper was great, too, for another reason.
Gotta love Daniels.
Looper was profoundly entertaining. It was wonderful. I had a great time watching Looper. And The Master was brilliant. It was about the way people lead and follow and why they lead and follow. And it was totally relevant, and I think it'll stand the test of time.
His best movie is still Boogie Nights, though, right? Come on, let's be honest.
Who?
Paul Thomas Anderson.
I don't think it's fair to even look at his career that way. I think he's an artist who's making phenomenal movies and
I will just watch them. My favorite movie of his is Boogie Nights, and Jacob just gave out.
Burt Reynolds was fantastic in that movie, right?
Yes, that's not your favorite Burt Reynolds movie, though.
I love that. Well, that would be my. I was going to follow up with Boogie Nights.
Wait, all right. I just can't believe you don't like Stick or Sharky's Machine or Smokey and the Bandit.
You know, it's possible that I would like those better, but they're hazy in my memory.
He hasn't seen them.
I saw these things when I was 19 or something.
Well, here's the one thing we all are going to see. We are all going to watch The Details.
Yes.
On demand. I call pay-per-view. I think on demand's like
Or iTunes. Super easy. Go to iTunes and you can watch it.
Okay, you can do it on iTunes. You can do it on Amazon. I do it on demand.
You went to program.
Or you can go see it in theaters November 2nd, especially in L.A. and New York. Hopefully it's in Chicago as well. I wouldn't be shocked if it's at the Landmark. I think that'd be a perfect place for it. That's where I saw Killer Joe, and I know LD Entertainment put out this film as well as Killer Joe, and Killer Joe was fantastic as well, Billy Friedkin. Jacob, I thank you so much for joining us. I hope I didn't keep you too long and bore you.
No, thank you so much. It was super fun.
All right, let's do it again when I'm in L.A.
Thank you.
All right, I'm here.
All right, thanks, pal.
Bye-bye.
All right, Charles, time to talk about broads. Someone get Charles a mic.
Charles.
Louise, give up your seat for a bit. You don't want to talk about broads right now anyways.
No.
Yeah. No, he doesn't. He's good on the broad front. He's probably been talking about broads for a week and a half.
He's nervous.
He's sitting at work talking about broads all week. Why are you nervous, Charles?
I don't know, because all of a sudden out of nowhere you're just like, Chuck, we got to talk about broads in your
love
life.
Well, first of all,
weren't you on a date?
I thought you were going to be out all night. I thought you had a hot date or something.
No, I just said I had to go somewhere.
Where'd you have to go?
I went to a networking event.
Oh, Jesus.
I hate my
Republican
job.
Networking event?
Maybe.
Ah! Jacob would have hated everybody in this room if we talked politics, by the way.
I don't know what you're saying.
Is that a callback, or are you being snub? are you being smug?
I don't
know. Because they're both funny.
I don't think my memory's kind of hazy.
Listen, that's my new answer for everything. I'm just going to call it the Jacob Estes.
No, I'm going to tell you right now. I'm going to just say, instead of pleading the fifth, I'm just saying I'm pleading the Jacob Estes.
He was great, though. He was
no,
fun.
He was great.
He was fun.
As a matter of fact, I want him to do some shit for me. Then, you know, when he goes into questioning, officer, I don't know. I grew up by the Wiener Circle.
I just think of the positive things.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I've never seen that movie.
Have you never seen Sharky's Machine or Stick or okay. Anyways, Charles, Republican Network event, how'd that go?
There weren't that many people there. It was pouring out. There were a couple.
Do you go there to
there.
Pick up chicks?
And to look for a new job.
Oh, and?
Yeah, mostly to look for a new job. But, you know, if there's hot chicks there, I'm
so
not
Charles,
talking to them.
I'm going to read you the 18 rules a woman, Mandy Stattmiller, who I've talked about on the show before and who I'm a big fan of.
Don't
and
you fucking eat
is this what you posted on
yes.
the other day?
Okay. Yes. And I want you to see if you agree or disagree. I know Mikey and I went over this yesterday, and people think we don't do any prep for this show.
Alex is showing us how much he can shove down his mouth.
Yeah, he really did just put half a hot dog down his mouth.
I don't give a shit. Let's just move on with the show.
First, we're talking about Deliverance. People
no,
all
I'm
fours.
Done. We don't need
now
to...
he's eating half a hot
okay.
dog at one time.
When the toddler's acting out, what do? You ignore him.
Oh, he's a toddler. Woo! By the way, you should probably say to him, it looks like you're putting on some muscle about right now. Oh, God. All right. So,
Super Sire Billy Graham back there.
I'm a big fan of Mandy Stattmiller. XOJane.com is where you can read this article under the sex section.
Yeah, no, this is great. This is great.
Mandy, of course, famously is the character that Mandy is based off of on The Newsroom.
Mm-hmm.
My friend Mandy, who I love.
Wait, which character is?
The TMZ reporter one, broad.
Oh, okay.
Aaron Sorkin went out with Mandy in real life.
Oh.
And that's how.
Doesn't think too highly of her, does he?
No, actually, according to Mandy, they have a good relationship.
Oh, I'm just going by the character.
Listen,
on the show.
Mandy's very down to earth and very real. And here's what I've understood about Mandy. She understands guys suck and she understands women suck. And she doesn't really fault you for sucking. She faults you if you're just not a good human being and can't own up to it. And Aaron Sorkin wasn't the...
Not taking her to work for show and tell.
Yeah, he wasn't a model boyfriend. So, but I think they're cool. Okay. So here were her 18 rules to going out, to asking a broad out, and to basically getting laid.
And Chucky, did you read this yet?
Yeah.
Oh, so you know it.
Yeah.
Because I would say I have successfully accomplished most of these. And I would just assume that you probably have, too.
Well, my opinion on it is this stuff from women is way more important than anything you'll read from Neil Strauss. And the reason I say that is it's from women.
No,
from the horse's fucking mouth.
I agree 100%.
Yes and no. You have to be careful because a lot of times, sometimes women aren't true with this stuff.
Well,
and they say one thing, but when they actually mean and feel something else.
That does happen a lot.
That's all right. Okay. I don't.
So
that,
I'm not saying,
I don't get that sense with Mandy though.
And I'm not saying most of the stuff on this list is actually I agree with, but there's a couple things that it's like, yeah, women say that, but do they really?
And here's the other thing that guys also have to remember too, before they get all sappy with the broad, is that a lot of these rules, like a lot of these rules, aren't going to be like just take some girl who doesn't like you and magically make her like you. For Mandy's list here to work, the girl has to have some initial interest
in
you.
Well, we're going to go into overtime, and I'm going to ask Mikey and Chucky 1 through 18 here if they agree or disagree and why. And so the first thing is, if you are not in college anymore, then fucking actually ask a woman out. And what she means by this is, you know, don't say, how are you, all that kind of shit. Go for it. Go for it. Ask a broad out. And then she gives the magic formula to asking a broad out, which is...
I'd like to take you out on this day at that time at this restaurant.
Correct. Agree or disagree?
Agree. Grow balls.
I 100% agree.
I think these first two rules alone, at least get you on like 1,000 more dates than you would have been before.
Well, I mean, here, this first one kind of correlates to something she picked up earlier, which is a sense of confidence. I mean, there's a certain value system that women inherently have, whether they realize or not in their own subconscious, that if a woman perceives you of a lesser value than herself, then she loses interest because as much as she may like you, she feels like there's still the bigger, better deal out there. And that doesn't mean to be a cold thing, but guys are kind of the same way. A guy who disrespects a woman is disrespecting a woman that he feels is just not worth his time. So that there is a correlation there. Would you guys agree?
Yeah, I agree. And I think the other thing, too, is I think we're okay, but people younger than us rely too much on instant messaging and chat rooms and stuff like that, not enough texting, actual face-to-face. So I think for them, it's grow a pair of balls, go up to the girl, say, hi, I'm Joey. You know, would you go out with me to Starbucks on Saturday at 4:30?
By the way, do you think it'd be good if I got Mandy on the show?
Yeah,
yes.
I think it'd be great.
Sex ed with her.
No, I think it'd be great to get her on the show. You know, something else when I, you know, if I like a girl and, you know, and I'm going to do something like this, something I'll always do is I'll tell a girl, like, look, if I really don't know the girl that well before I invest in a dinner, I might say, hey, let's grab coffee and chat for a minute. You know, if you don't like me, I don't like you. We're for $5 in, like we can part ways. But if it's to the point where I want to take her to dinner, I'll look at her and say, hey, you know what? I find you interesting. I'd like to get to know you a little better. I want to take you out to dinner this Saturday night. Let's go here at this time.
By the way, if you're following at home, the title of the article on XOJane.com is How to Ask Out a Woman If You Really Like Her and Also How to F the S Out of Her Brains. You got my attention right there.
No, of course.
Okay, so number three.
Can I have some pills?
We both agree. We all three of us agree that you have to ask the broad out and you have to be firm. You have to say, here's where we're going, here's what we're doing, here's what time, here's where.
In person or on the phone, not through text messaging or Facebook Messenger.
And you right. And you make it a clear, concise statement. There's no room to be left for it to be a question.
Yeah, because a lot of times guys will say, hey, you know, if you're not doing anything, would you like to maybe grab some dinner?
Don't do that.
You specifically say it's a date.
Here's the question. How many dates can you go on with a girl before you can like try to like back down a little bit and be like, hey, you want to go out tonight? And she's like, well, what do you want to do? I don't know. You want to grab a drink somewhere? Because you can't, like, for me personally.
No, this is for a first date.
Right, but I'm saying by, like, date number four, I'm not going to be like, hey, we're going out to this restaurant at this time on this night. I'll see you there. Click. I mean, after a while, it's like, okay.
God, is he loud.
Calm down, Terminator.
He really gets passionate when it comes to broads.
But you guys know what I'm saying, though. Would you guys agree?
My eardrums are blown. You'll have to
I don't think Chucky even got the question.
Wow. But Maddie.
What Mikey's saying is after the first date, how often do you got to keep doing being the man, putting on the big boy pants like Alex just got in the mail last week and ask a broad out again and again? How long does this have to go on before it's a relationship?
Well, not even a relationship. Before you F?
Well, no.
I'm not saying before you F. I'm saying before you can relax a little bit with that and start being a little, start making plans
like friends.
That depends on the comfort level where you plan on taking the relationship.
Because you could start sounding like the friend come the third or fourth date by doing that.
Right. So you can easily get into the friend
line.
Yeah. But then you don't want to see. Yeah, I would probably say it would depend. Maybe after you sleep together.
Week three is what Alex is saying.
I mean, you always.
Yeah, he's
be...
still thinking NFL referees. Yeah,
like...
I don't even know what that.
I don't know. All right, what's the next one?
I'm just gonna ignore.
I don't want to
like
spend 2 hours on this.
Well, no, I do want to bring up though. I think Chucky makes a very good point. Sorry, hold on.
Because at some point, the female's gonna wonder what's going on.
I'm just telling our Facebook and Twitter community we're going into overtime. Oh, and by the way, we're going into overtime in like a minute, just so you know.
Download
the show on Blog Talk or at the website at MatthewAaronShow.com tomorrow. Just click on it and you can get the rest of the show. But okay, so
and
let's
find out what the remaining 17 are.
Right, we'll go on to the third here, and ooh, this is something to really leave on a good note. So people are gonna be like, I got to hear overtime
already.
Well, I'm setting it up. I don't want to give the answer in overtime until overtime. if you, I'm just going to say, if you really want to impress her, then do something small and thoughtful, and it doesn't have cost a thing. True or false?
True.
True.
But this again can be a tricky one because...
Well, here's what she says about it. Let's clarify for the audience. Thoughtfulness drives women crazy. Showing you are thinking of her, that you invested a little time thinking about her, that you anticipated and thought what she might like. Buy her an iTunes single that made you think of her. Take a picture of her and develop it and give it to her the next time you see her. Give her a beautiful stationery pad if she's a writer. Something small and thoughtful.
Well, the stationery pad, but the other two might get your restraining order.
Yeah. Well, here's my thing. Here's the only thing, and this is something I want to ask Mandy about. I'm going to get her on this fucking show because I want to ask her about. At what point do you give her the small, thoughtful thing? Because if you do it on the first date, is it a little too advanced?
And remember something. You have to understand the idea behind
it. And we're in overtime, but go ahead.
We have to understand the thought process of a woman writing this. A woman's writing this, and these are the things that she's looking for from the guy that she's interested in. If a guy she's not completely interested in does some of these things, they're going to be like, oh, great, thanks. Like, it's not going to be like...
And by the way, so everyone knows, Mandy went to Northwestern,
okay.
So she knows what she's talking
but
about.
But you understand what you guys – hey, Chucky, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can hear you now. Yeah. My ears have recuperated.
Okay.
Yeah, I think something like that would be you're going to have to listen to them and know what they like and understand, you know, the things that interest them. And
right,
that
but would,
might...
would you agree with it? It'd have to be with a girl that is showing interest back.
Obviously. Right, yeah, yeah. Because if you don't, it's just, yeah, it's going to come off weird, and you run the risk of getting into that friend zone again.
Yeah, I agree. But I'm just a little worried about when you give the gift.
Yeah, I wouldn't do right away.
That's something like, I'm thinking
Third date? No, I think fourth date's a little too far.
Third date or fourth date, depending on how well the first couple dates go.
That's true. If you're first, and I'm just throwing this out there because I've done it and other people do it too. Like, I don't consider if you do an online thing, the first meeting, I don't consider that a date. That's like basically you're just meeting each other. Yeah, you're screening, basically.
Yeah, but how long are you screening for? That's a good question too.
Usually those don't last that long, unless you're going miraculously well. Yeah, something like that, an hour and a half. 2 hours,
by the way, if Pat Tobias is listening, I can't communicate with anyone on Facebook for 6 days, so you need to hit up Mandy for me, actually, because... Oh, no, wait, Mandy and I are friends. I should be able to hit her up. But still, Pat, you may have to do it.
All righty.
Okay, number four. And this is one where you usually don't even have to do it. They'll do it for you. Ask about her. Ask her what she's thinking. Don't be a faker. Really be interested. Engage. Don't make it all about you. Show your value. Show how you are a value add to her life. If you see her as a value add, then put your best foot forward. Don't call it in. And also, oh, baby, be in the moment. Have fun.
No, I agree with that 100%. The only difference is you have to be – that. Again, there's plenty of women out there that don't need any extra enticing to talk about themselves.
Bingo.
Yeah, there's that old Chris Rock joke where he puts his foot one foot in the door and the girl's like, and he's like, let me get my other foot in the door and get me my big piece of chicken.
I like when Chuck, white Chuck, does Chris Rock jokes.
See,
hey, at least it didn't sound like Gilbert Godfrey.
Well, yeah, but see, here's the thing. I think this question works if the girl's not talking. Like, No, but what I'm saying is, like, if you go to dinner and it's, like, your third or fourth
Well,
date,
I think what Mandy's saying is
being quiet.
You're controlling the conversation.
Yeah, ask about her. Ask her how about work.
I'm
what
sure
she
the one thing Mandy didn't mention was, because she's talking about herself here. She's talking about what you need to do to get her to go out and, you know, please her. But she's also leaving out the factor that you could be going out with some crazy Italian broads like I have. Or I'm sure others have. And they have no problem talking about them for 2 hours. And by the way, you don't even have to ask any questions. It doesn't matter.
Oh, I went on a date with this broad one time.
Yeah.
And I actually am a fairly intelligent person. And I have a lot of things. I can conversate. We know this well, Manny. I happen to be on a radio show once in a while.
Yeah.
and I, and I And I had all this, like,
Turzo show coming to you live from Downers Grove.
And I have had this, like, whole thing I wanted to talk about. And 45 minutes after the date started, I hadn't said a word. I was staring at this broad talking for so long. I forgot what I was going to say. And by the time she was done, I was just like...
And by the way, if she's talking for 45 minutes, you retained maybe like 5 minutes of that.
Oh, my God.
So there's like 40 minutes of it that's like white noise.
It is. You're absolutely right. I'm a little better. It was about 15, 20 minutes in was when I started turning to white noise.
Yeah.
Because I'm just like... And I'm just...
At some point, it's like having the TV on when you're going to sleep.
Yeah. Yeah. I was literally... At one point, I was staring at her, and it just went like... My vision of her went blurry.
Chucky, you have any dates ever where some broad wouldn't shut up about herself?
Yes.
Yeah, I have.
That's your answer? Yes.
I have,
don't have an antidote.
But then I've also had dates where I've tried to get something out of them, and they, you know, they wouldn't talk or anything like that. But then they send you a text message, and they, hey, I had a great time. We should do this again sometime. And you're like, huh?
Like, you didn't say anything.
And you're sitting there thinking to yourself, wow, if you enjoyed that, God, I wonder what you're like in bed. And
dead fish.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
She'll like Lenny and I in bed.
You're sitting there going to town trying to, you know, just make it all work, and all you hear is a, oh.
Oh. And when Mikey says go to town, he means pound town. Pound town.
Because there's only one town.
With olive oil.
Number five, if you get to the point of physical contact where that is appropriate, the most erotic things of all are often hardly even sexual at all. And what Mandy means is light touch on her back, stroke on her cheek, finger on her mouth, things like that.
She also mentions kissing the neck,
which
women
love. She does say read the indicators of interest, as old Game Boy Neil Strauss calls them.
Correct.
IOI.
And use your gut. So she does give Neil a little credit.
What she's basically saying there is that you get into a situation where it might be possible, you're not sure. Well, look for eye contact and items of interest. Touch the hand, touch the arm, touch the small of the back. See how far you can go. And if
well, she's saying if her body language is cold, then don't do the touching bullshit.
No,
but test it out. Touch her arm, stroke her hand. Right.
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 Exactly.
And it's slow things. It starts with a little push. Like,
at what process do you do this, though? First date?
Can't
do what?
No, you do it before. I was going to explain something, but you can't do it on radio. You give them a little push and be like, you know,
Charles,
cut it
just
out.
Touching me.
Yeah, I do that when I'm hitting on them.
Oh, so before even the date.
Yeah.
This is a move you do before the date.
But see, there's a science behind it called kinesiology.
He's like Bill Clinton of dating over
here. But
I've never stuck a cigar
hand,
smoked it.
No, I'm talking about
when
Bill would meet people, though, and Bill would shake their hand, and they'd put if he was really interested in you, he'd put two hands on your one hand. He'd shake them with both hands. If he was kind of interested in you, he'd put his hand on your elbow.
Not the Lenny Kanata half handshake. I don't, pal.
Oh, yeah.
I don't.
Lenny and his limp wrist.
So, you know, see, but here's the idea, Maddie. There's the science behind it is that when you meet a girl, one of the steps to her letting you into her life as a dominant male is that she has to get comfortable with the feeling of your touch. And the idea of kinesiology is building that by starting out by the hand, the arm, the elbow, the small of the back, until you get comfortable to the point where she's comfortable with you touching her all over, and then she lets you in.
So when we go to this party in a few weeks, we're going to a big Halloween party.
Yeah.
When we go to this party in a few weeks, are we going to be looking to accomplish some of these touching moves to feel out the process?
Yeah, and there's a process to it. And Chuck, you know this. You start and you go as far as you can, and then if you get any like, you know, interference, you step back.
Wait a little bit,
and then you try proceeding again.
Now, Mandy says one of her favorite moves is the man interlocking the arm and walking down the street.
Yeah.
Does that usually work? Do you think it helps? Do you think it matters?
That's something you do after a first date, like on a second one if you're going for a stroll or something like that.
I think it's kind of creepy when you just meet the broad.
Yeah.
But
girls do
say,
like it.
And you think women think, oh, this is he's kind of saying I'm his? Like in a good way.
But I mean, I've had it where I didn't even have a chance and girls were already locking their arms around me and stuff like that. So,
Chucky, big player.
You know, it's not that easy. You gotta fight them off with a stick.
Is that your Jean-Claude Van Damme snorting cocaine impression?
So!
Okay, and Mandy says number seven, just ask if you need to. Just say it. Nothing's that scary. Just say, can I kiss you? However, Paris Jackson, Michael Jackson's 16-year-old daughter, says the other day, you better just kiss me. Don't tell me you're going to kiss me.
Yeah, don't
ruin the moment.
That's true. Don't tell. Don't ask. Just
I wouldn't ask.
I kind of want to ask Mandy about that because Paris, being 16, is saying, see, Mandy's at the age, though, where she's done with the bullshit. Doesn't care. There's no mystery to the romance anymore. She's at that age. Paris is 16 years old, so
but
she wants
gotta
some
love
guy to just put it
on. Well, yeah, but there's also a proven statement, and Chuck, you'll remember this, so you read, is that another thing about locking eyes. If you're talking to a girl...
Oh, we've talked about this on
the
show before.
You get a girl, you get close. You get to that within the zone, or if you will, where you're a couple inches away, maybe you got your hand around her hips. And if you lock eyes, and there's like a three-second rule, after 3 seconds, she doesn't look away from you, she stays locked with you, you pretty much can go right in for the kiss.
Or as Jacob Aranestis would say, I don't know anything about that. number eight, teasing. And that was a perfect example of teasing. Mm-hmm. I'm just teasing. Can I say that one more time? That is one of my favorite things in the world, Mandy states. There's something about the erotic push and pull that is incredibly heightened connection. This is another thing I'm going to have to highlight for when we talk to Mandy, if we talk to Mandy. I really need to get that brought on this show. Because, okay, listen. The erotic push and pull, that now you're playing a game.
Right, and this is most of what David D'Angelo talks about, who's another person besides Neil Strauss, with Cocky Funny, in that it's all about teasing. And
is it all about teasing?
Well, I mean, how about little comments like this? Like, you know, like you're going out with a girl and you spend the night together. You can make something stupid like, now you better not have any plans tonight and thinking you're going to try nothing, because I'm not that kind of guy. You could do like stupid shit like that. And like, you know, there's weird shit. Like, and it's the kind of almost like the opposite role. You're kind of taking the role of the woman and kind of throwing it back at her and kind of doing the takeaway. It's that kind of thing.
Yeah. At what point, Chucky, have you experienced, or Mikey for this matter, at what point have you experienced, okay, I'm playing this game, I need to back off? Like, when does it go south? At what point can you save it? And how do you know when it's going south? When you're flirting to a point where it's creeping her out or throwing off the
vibe. Certain things she'll do, you know, to show you that she's a little uncomfortable,
can you save it once she shows you?
Yeah, then you just have to stop and be like, all right, chill the fuck out.
Well, one thing that you can never deny is that one thing women always like is attention. So even if you're starting to creep them out, if you shut off completely and start focusing in other ways, again, you kind of like you demonstrate a higher value.
But isn't she always going to remember that you creeped her out?
Yeah, but she's going to want the attention.
How do you save it? Yeah, but you don't want to look like a drama king.
Right? No, it's not about looking like a drama king.
So you can't bring up that you just fucked up with her.
No.
So how do you save it?
Chucky, I would say you've back
you probably
off.
Need time, right?
Yeah.
And by time, you need to talk about normal people things and not dicks and vaginas.
So after that, after you're getting resistance, yeah, you shouldn't be like, so, do you like a circle or in and out? You know, whatever, I don't know.
Was that your gay man impression
no.
of like faking
just,
a date a hot
I was
chick?
Just trying to do a creepy voice.
Oh, it was creepy.
Thank you.
Number 9, kiss the neck.
Yes.
There's
and nibble the ears. They like it both.
And the chest?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. You see, what that is, what that right there is, that's foreplay. If you're going to date a woman and you want her to get off, you better get good at foreplay.
And hands across down the spine of the back, they like that too.
Number 10, women love to feel desired. I am a narcissist, but I think we all have elements of this.
Hold on.
To feel like a man can't get enough of you is such a turn on, but in a confident, non-needy way.
There you go.
How do you ride that line of being non-needy?
See, that's the tricky part about women. They want you to want them, but they don't want you to want them.
Here's my experience. You just can't talk to them too much.
No.
Correct.
I was telling Mikey yesterday, when it comes to broads, in my case, 10 text messages a day if we're not that serious between the two of us, 5 each or 6, 4, whatever. But I cut it off usually around the 10 mark.
I usually don't do it for a day, but I usually do it for a week. Like, I don't want to talk to him more than 2 or 3 times a week. And that means that
even if you're going out,
that's included in one of the 2 or 3 times.
Yeah, I agree.
Especially at first, you don't want to come up like you're too strong. You'll definitely.
If you go out on a first date, and before the first date and after the first date, you're talking to this broad every day, 7 days a week, is a major no-no. Yeah. I'll tell you why. Because there's two types of broads in that situation. There's the broad that's going to be turned off because you're too needy. And then there's the broad that's going to like it. And really, you're not really like that in real life. And you're not going to be able to keep up with that. And this broad needs attention 24/7.
Now, and she's planning your wedding reception after
the
third date.
Yeah. Those are the two types of women.
Here's the question. Have either one of you guys ever been in a situation where you felt like things were starting to go south, so you weren't sure what to do, and so you dropped, you just decided, you know what, I'm just going to drop it completely, and I'm just never going to call her or talk to her again. And then she never stops contacting.
Yeah, I mean, that happens all the time, but what ends up happening for me is when I stop it like that, is because you had no real ending to the relationship, they all come back. Whether it's 9 months, whether it's a year and a half, you'll get a text out of the blue, you'll get a message in your email out of the blue saying, hey, how you doing, what's going on, blah, blah, blah.
Not for me, I must be that big of an asshole. Really? I don't want to do anything with me after that.
Yeah, well, part of them want closure. Part of it's because I date young broads and they all think, oh, I grew up a little more this year. Maybe Matt can have more time for me now. No.
Maddie, you are one interesting bird when it comes to certain things.
Why am I an interesting bird for liking younger women?
Hold on. No, you're 29 years old, and you like dating 18-year-olds, and you like dating 60-year-olds, okay? I'm sorry, 50-year-olds.
Because women my age, that says to me, sorry, Charles, that says to me, I forgot Charles has the good headphones.
Yeah, they're loud.
Right. So that says, here's my problem with dating broads our own age, before I get back to this. Dating broads our own age says to me commitment time.
Yeah, because we're in the 30s, so the ones that aren't married are looking
to get married.
All right, sorry. I'm almost in my 30s. Jesus, I'm sorry.
Listen, I'm sorry, but they're both at the age, too, where it's... I'm funny.
You know what? You call me an idiot. I'm okay.
Let's just put it this way. The percentage of women who want to commit after 25 goes up dramatically each year.
Yeah.
Each year. 25 to 26.
No, I agree.
26, 27. Dramatically.
You know, it's like a buddy of mine told me. He goes, the morning of a girl's 27th birthday is the day that she realizes that she's going to get worse looking every day for the rest of her life.
We realize that at like 12.
Well, I mean, that's because realistically, for the majority of women out there, let's be realistic. For the majority of women out there, once they hit 30, they're pretty much realizing that there's a good chance they only got 10 good years left.
Well, and look, I'll just be honest with you. I got this pilot going out in L.A. I got the radio show. I got a busy career happening now. I don't want to have a relationship. I got fucking time, man.
No,
I got the fucking time. I don't care.
Yeah, me either.
That's right. You tell him, Charles. As her friend Sam Lansky says, this is number 11, the best relationships are when you both think you're dating up.
This comes back to what I was talking about earlier.
Now, here's the problem, though, with this. This is not, people think this is just based off of looks.
No.
New. So why do I date younger broads? Because younger broads see what I'm doing career-wise,
and they factor that
into the number. So let's say I'm a 5. They're factoring that in and going, 6.5, 7.
Yeah. Way to aim high, Matt.
5.5.
So listen, I'm saying men usually just judge everything based off looks till they get to know the broad, and then they're like, oh my God, she's fucking crazy. Well, you probably should have known that before you went out with her for 5 months. But women kind of factor everything in one number.
Yeah.
So dating up for us is way different than dating up for them. Because we immediately only think of dating up about hotness.
I think a lot of people take guys take job, like what this girl does. You know, will they be able to show her off, brag about it?
I think some of that has to do with
the I'm not saying we do it, I'm saying other people do it.
But I'm smart men. But hold on, I think there's an intelligence level thing there too, because, I mean, we all could be attracted to bras and new women. Oh, she's hot. But, I mean, Maddie, I know you're intelligent enough.
I will say this. Mikey's a really picky motherfucker. Well, I don't know why. For a guy on plentyoffish.com, he's a real picky guy.
I kind of agree with Mike because
that profile up.
A while ago, I went out with a girl who was a couple years younger than me, and it's like the only thing she really did was like get drunk, go to class, and that's it.
Perfect. And you didn't throw her my way.
And I was just like, after the first date, it was like, all right, she's got nothing going on.
No, but you see that's the thing.
You two
though.
Are thinking too much.
No, because here you can look at a girl, God, she's attractive. Then you meet her, you start talking to her, and maybe this is just me because I'm intelligent or something. I don't know, but I start talking to a girl, and if she's as dumb as a box of rocks, after about 10 minutes, it's like, look, honey, give me a blowjob or just let's.
Well, here's the woman point of view. This is,
and
this
I will
is
say,
from Mandy,
since I don't drink as much anymore, my bullshit tolerance goes
me
way
too.
Down.
Me too. Well, you've seen me out.
Yeah, I have. You need to drink.
All right, so Mandy says, so yeah, I'm a fan of playing within my league. I'm not a 21-year-old supermodel. I so get it. I have the most fun with someone who I'm very attracted to but is attainable, especially when he feels the same way about me. Unless it's like Brad Pitt at the exact moment in the 90s when he's doing the little cowboy dance for Gina Davis, I'd rather not waste my time with someone who feels like they're doing me a favor. I'd employ the same thing with women. If she's a super ice queen who's having none of it, you know, on to the next one, dude.
Yeah, 100%.
Find someone who's feeling it.
As soon as you get a girl who feels like she's doing you a favor by hanging out with you, even though she might actually like you.
Boy, we know a few of them.
But like, oh, he's great, but, you know, he's just not my thing, but I'll hang out with him just because he's nice. As soon as that's happening, fucking run.
Yep. Yeah, and if I had the choice between a 10 who was a bitch and an 8 who was really cool, I'll take the 8.
Wow. Chucky? 10 to 8. Chucky.
Yeah. Okay.
No.
7
Sorry.
Even.
Sorry.
7 even.
Oh, no. This is all horseshit.
Wait.
10 who's a hot bitch and 2 who's the coolest fucking fat dog you've ever met.
Hold on.
Okay. Well.
Hold on.
Then I'll take this.
You guys, hold on. Let's think about something. Since we're all guys here, isn't it fucking crazy that you could walk up to any fucking guy in the street and we all know exactly what an 8, a 9, a 10, and a 6.
Now, Lenny and
like,
I have talked about this on this show before, though. A 10 in Chicago is different than a 10 in L.A. that's different than a 10 in Vegas.
Yeah.
So Lenny and I like walking around going, she's a Vegas 10, or she's an L.A. 9, or she's a Chicago 6.
See, and they don't
even
know.
I don't look at it that way.
Oh, I do.
I know a lot of people who don't even rank girls. Their ranking is yes or no.
Well, that's a couple of men sitting at this table, too.
Yeah, I kind of like that, too. Forget this. Well, she's
but
a
10.5. I just thought it was funny that you're like, if it's between a bitch 10, man, and like a totally cool 8
or 7, I would definitely
take
a 7.
I got to be honest. I don't think a girl.
I don't want no 4.
But no one ever says the 1.
You know what, though? I don't think a girl can be a 10. I think the highest of physically, as high as a girl can get is a 9.
There's some 10s.
No.
Yeah,
no.
There's some 10s.
No.
Physically, the highest
the
girl can get is
a
9.
To make it into a 10, you got to be a cool 9. That's what I'm saying. All
right, I'm going to show you some pictures of people on the internet.
Is he out of his fucking mind?
No, yeah. I'm serious.
Adriana Lima's a 9, by the way, Charles. She's a 9 only. We don't go to 10 here.
Kate Upton?
Yeah, Kate Upton. We don't go to 10 in this.
They're only 10s if they're fucking cool. If they're cunts, they might go down to a 7.
Sorry.
Well, Luisi, with your porno on your phone. All right. If there is number 12, if there's a possibility of love, oh my God, that is crack. She's identified this as the number one thing that turns around about sex. Emotion-free sex is pretty mad to her. Fun and porny may be physically satisfying, but how great is it to date and have sex with someone who you love and actually care about? That's what she's seeking. It'll happen.
I thought that's what you were supposed to do.
Here's the problem, Mikey. You are so fucking... I don't even want to say old school. You're viciously moral.
I'm just saying. I just thought...
And good for you.
I thought that's what you're supposed to do.
No, Mikey's a lot more moral than I thought he was, though.
Oh, you too. All right, so...
Well, what is the straight males talk for a second?
Yeah. Listen, I agree with Mandy. It probably is the best sex ever to be in love and have sex or whatever. But then I'd also argue, well, all the married men who are cheating on their wives.
And who are miserable. Or men and women who are married that don't want to sleep with each other.
And I'll actually tell you this. In all my experience of being in relationships, yes, the sex is the best the first couple months. Then after like 3 months,
I think like the first 3 times you do it is not that, because you're still
no,
like a learning out period.
If you've got a real sexy broad like I've had before, where it's like she wants.
You've got
to,
a real sexy broad.
No. I'm saying like where she wants to be tied up. So that's one experience. Where she wants to be slapped, that's another experience. Where she wants to be spanked, that's a third sex.
When
so
she wants
having,
to
like, Tahitian all this,
face mask,
right.
Whatever.
So you're having like all this crazy, interesting sex. And then you kind of run out. You kind of run out.
Yeah,
yes,
you do.
Yeah, it's not as great after 3 to 4 months. Yes. You know what, Alex?
There's only so
I'll
many times.
I'll save this for off the air. But if it was as fucking great, someone wouldn't be a single man today. Anyways, continuing, Mikey, I mean, that's just my theory on it. I could be wrong.
No.
Hey, Anthony. Anthony, it's good.
Anthony. What's the next one?
You have no comment about that at all?
Alex, I'll say this. There's only so many times you could dress up as Santa and spank Mrs. Claus. It gets a little ridiculous after a while.
If she says she likes things, do them.
Yeah.
13. If she says she likes things, do them.
Yeah.
She gets very, Mandy gets very turned on by the idea of subjugation and also the indication that she might be giving head while I'm playing with I can't believe I got to read this. So she told her dude last night to play with his finger on my mouth, teasing me as I fingered myself to orgasm. I had to tell him this several times. This is a no-no. Get it. If she likes it, do more of it. Integrate it. Yes
yeah,
or no?
Yeah,
obviously.
I agree.
Yeah.
I kind of disagree.
It's good to tease.
I'm going to tell you why. Odds are, if you do everything she says, it's going to be a one-night stand.
Yep. I will agree with you there. I think it's certainly...
Well, don't pull out all your bags of tricks on the first night.
That's part of it. The other part of it is, if you kind of act like a fucking asshole a little bit, she's going to want to be with you again. I hate to say this. It's kind
of
true.
Well, Manny,
she's going to
you
want
could
to fuck
kind of
apply
that for any of this stuff. Again,
if you give her everything the first night.
Oh, no, absolutely
not. This list here, again, is kind of, again, this is like the list for the guy that they really like. This is what they got.
Right.
This
Mandy's talking about the one.
Yeah. This is the list for the guy that the girl really wants to, you know, like, I met this amazing guy and I really like him. These are the things they want them to do.
She would like you to remember if a woman wants to have be into some kind of perversion, you should go along with it.
Well, as long as
there's
you know,
a degree to that.
Yeah, I was, you know, if we're busting out butcher knives and chainsaws, you know, ease up a little bit.
One time, my ex-fiance said to me she wanted to be tied up.
I'm cool with it.
What's wrong with that?
Didn't have any rope or anything. So she wanted to use my Nintendo controllers.
No. You'll snap them.
Thank you, Mikey. Thank you. Now you see where I'm coming from here. And because
I wouldn't tie her up with
my Nintendo controller, she started to slap me, like, over and over and over. And she hit me. And she's like, hit me back. And I'm like, I don't really want to hit you. You won't look that good if I hit you. Trust me.
You know what? Hold on. Just for my listeners out there.
All my listeners.
On the Mikey Terzo show.
I just want to throw this out here.
Boy.
For the people who don't...
Sponsored by Parliament.
Maddie, this happened. This happened to me once, by the way. And I knocked a girl out.
What? Are you admitting to a crime on the radio?
No, I knocked her out.
Are you admitting to a federal offense?
It was the third time she told me to hit her, so I hit her. And I'm like, she's like, you hit like a girl. I'm like, you know... I'm like 380 pounds, and you're like 140 pounds, and I know I'm like 350.
Fucking with you. Right.
And I'm like, you really don't want me to do this. She's like, no, I want you to hit me. So I hit her a second time, and she's like, I said hit me. So finally, now she pissed me off. So I just slapped the shit out of her.
I'm going to have to edit this out of the show. I don't want Mikey going to jail.
Yeah, we don't know what the statute of limitations are.
By the way, before Chucky decided he was coming here tonight, Chucky texted me, you basically, don't worry, he'll be here next week. No one interrupt the Mikey Terzo show tonight.
Oh, my God.
Number 15, Mandy's also a huge fan of romantic sex. Duh.
Or
we know that.
Female.
We know that. Yeah, okay. You get the rose petals. You do the whole candlelight. Yeah, we get it.
Again, you go down on him, Maddie.
Hold on. Just throw
I'm not a fish man, pal.
for all the men out there listening, again, only use rose petals, hotel room, and champagne if the girl actually likes you.
No, oh, that's true.
Otherwise, you become creepy.
But by the way,
and if she really likes you, spray a little olive oil.
By the way, even if you want, okay, I'll tell you this: if you do all that for a woman, hotel room, jacuzzis, flowers, champagne, booze, whatever, and she doesn't fuck you that night, she's not that into you.
You leave her to pay for the hotel room.
Time to move on. She's not that into you.
Yeah.
You know that book, He's Not That Into You? I'm going to write She's Not That Into You, okay?
Yeah.
Learn how to finger a bitch, would you? Number 16.
This is something that, that I think most guys are probably pretty terrible at.
Learn how.
Because there's more than one way to do it.
Well, here's what Mandy says. So many men don't know how to do this. One of them is Alex Luisi. Take a course at One Taste. Watch some porn. Google it. Have a woman show you.
You know what?
I'm not against any of those learning processes.
No,
I want to go to the school of Mandy Statmiller.
But guys, can we agree that there are not many women out there that know how to give a good hand job or blow job either?
Hand jobs are terrible.
Hand jobs are awful because we're so good at them.
Yeah. I once had a girl. I mean, obviously, I was much
younger.
Like
the Andre Dawson of hand jobs. Okay.
I am.
I once
had a girl go
side
to side. It was pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, we're all Hall of Famers when it comes to a hand job. Okay. So
but,
they're not going to be good
but
at
here's
that.
The thing.
They don't understand that about fingering.
But
well, I'm not going to be Lucy Liu or Christy Yamaguchi. I'm not.
But that's the deal. They have to understand that.
But our equipment is a lot easier to use than theirs.
Nah, well, yeah, mate. Well,
Hey, up and down. Up and down. Don't grip too hard. That's all I'm asking.
Then why do they fuck it up so much?
And watch your fingernails.
And watch it. Well, that can go both ways.
yeah, that's true.
Take a course at One Taste. What's One Taste?
I looked it up. It looks outstanding.
Is it like a sex place?
Yes, we need to go.
Is it in New York, though?
I don't know.
Not Chicago?
I think it's an online class.
Then we need to go. Are we going to the library?
I can't wait to see the video of us three and Lenny fingering like a peach, learning how to do it correctly off an online video. That is going to be the most miraculous video ever.
We got the peach and we're sitting there trying to look at how to do this thing. Next thing you look over, one of us is eating the peach.
And it's going to be Lenny.
Oh, yeah.
I ain't going down on no
Manny, bar. Manny, they got the white peaches. I love the white peaches.
You didn't like the white peaches at Whole Foods.
No, I love white peaches. Those ones are terrible.
Yeah, they taste like apples. Number 17. So, number 16, learn how to finger a bitch.
There's a couple ways to do it. Learn how to do it.
All right. Number 17, confidence is everything. She likes to be pinned down and feel the force and power of a man. That's obviously with a partner she trusts and likes and have indicated she wants them to do this. So, she's not advocating.
Yeah, don't do it to the girl on the blue
line. This is not advocating surprise sex.
Yeah, surprise sex. Ask her what she likes. Ask her if she likes to be spanked. Ask if she'd like to be blindfolded. Maybe not over first drinks, but you never know. Women are some horny bitches. They are reading and rereading 50 Shades. Sex is such a fun playground.
Yeah.
True or false?
It's a fun playground.
True. Yeah, no, it is. It's straight true. And women are very
confident is everything, though, true or false?
Yeah. And very women are very sexual in their minds, too.
Act like you know what you're doing. Don't be timid.
They read way too many novels, those romance novels.
Well, it's
they all read that trash.
I mean, it's all in their heads. That's what it is.
The ones that aren't smart enough to read look at the tabloids and see Kristen Stewart and Robert Pattinson and they get fantasy.
And guys should read some of the stuff women read, too.
What do you think we're doing right now?
I'm saying besides this. Calm down.
Is that why you have subscriptions to Cosmo and 17 magazine?
That's almost not the only reason.
Well, 17's not the reason.
Well, we're not going to discuss that.
Or is that still the one that...
I don't even want to joke about it because I'm afraid there's going to be another sound clip.
I
want to
ask you a question. I'm going to ask a real question here, though. This is not part of Mandy's thing, but if your girlfriend still reads 17... Too young?
No.
Well, hold on. Time
she
out.
Either has the mind of a 17-year-old.
No. Time out. If your girlfriend were to read 17, she's only too young if she's too young.
She's too young, right?
Yeah. No, but she's only too young. If she's 27 reads 17, she's not too young. She's still 27.
No, Mikey, I am saying that. I'm saying if she's 27 and reads 17, she's kind of a...
Immature. Yeah. Possibly, yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah,
Thank you.
Maybe
hold
not
on.
That bright. You know what? When
she's,
we say maybe
not
that bright.
She's not putting pictures of Justin Bieber on
because
her wall,
here's
is she?
What you guys are forget. Well, here's what you guys are thinking. 17's meant for girls in their teens. They have magazines for 27-year-old women that
yeah,
are called 17.
Cosmo.
Yeah, that are more up to speed with their supposed brain matter.
You know?
Vanity Fair, Cosmo, you know?
You know what, Manny? I want to throw this out here. You brought this up here the other day, and I agree much, that Sex and the City has absolutely ruined an entire generation of women.
You know what's ruining
women?
Dumber.
Girls. I hate that fucking show.
Oh, you don't like it?
No,
I think it's
show.
Okay.
By
I don't
the way,
like it, but I don't hate it.
You think,
I watched all
hold
of
on.
It.
You think 50 Shades of Grey is helping men in their sex life? I think it's ruining it as well.
Why is that, Mikey?
Well, it's getting women horny, but then it's getting them horny for something other than what they have available.
Okay, but women
what
can
do you
argue
think we have porn
women
for?
Women can argue that about men and porn by
yeah,
Viagra,
yeah,
Cialis.
But no, it's different for women because they get this fantasy in their head.
So, Mikey, if I give you a yellow bomber and your girlfriend or your wife dried up, not really into sex, you wouldn't start looking for the next best thing?
Is this your analogy for the 70-year-olds that are they're trying to blame Cialis?
Oh, that's another conversation for next week.
Natty, this is, I'm 26 years old.
I'm just comparing it to what you're saying.
What
about
kind of 26?
Shades of grays.
I could date a girl twice my age and she wouldn't have a dried up vagina. What the
okay,
fuck are you talking
so
about?
So let's say you're dating a woman who doesn't want to fuck you, but you spend all your time with her and you take a Cialis. Are you then looking for the next best thing?
Yep.
Thank you. Glad I had to spell it out. Number 18, talk to her. What? Why are you giving me that look?
I'm nothing. I'm nothing. I'm good.
Sorry. Ask her what it turns her on to hear you say. If you are nervous or uncomfortable, then just say what you are doing.
Yeah,
if
you
it's
know
dirtier
what?
Than sex, then maybe do you like sucking my cock? If it's more romantic, maybe you feel so good I just want to be inside you forever.
But again, this is another loaded one because there's so many like, well, it could be this or it could be that.
You've tried all this. You've tried all this. I know this.
Yeah, but I
know
would...
you two text dirty shit and see where
yeah.
it goes.
Yeah, I do.
Oh, Chucky, I asked a girl one time if she wanted to be tied up. I mean, and you know, forcibly screwed with toys and shit. I mean,
forcibly?
Yeah, I mean,
is that surprise? It's not really a surprise yeah. when you ask, can I forcibly screw you?
Well, it was. I still asked.
Forcible rape.
It wasn't going to be a surprise.
Okay, continue.
By the way, that would be a terrible surprise. But I got you something for your birthday. What's that? Undress now and I will tie you to the bed. What? You know, I mean, that just would not go over well.
Actually, it might.
Well, yeah, if you're us, you'd be like, oh, you're a hot girl. You
wait, you're not getting tying me to no bed. What the hell are you talking about? Chucky, would you agree with that? Talk to her.
Yeah, I mean,
be
obviously.
Smart about what you're saying.
Yeah, I don't in the middle of sex be like, what do you want me to say, honey? But don't jump out to the, I'm going to fuck you, you dirty, rotten little
I
cunt.
Love how,
you know,
I love.
You kind of got to work up to it.
Yeah, they're somewhere in the middle.
Just by Chucky's impressions, though, I love how I can take from it that he thinks any man who's not pleasing his woman talks like a fairy.
I'm not doing voices anymore.
Oh, what are you talking about?
I will say this. I do honestly believe this though.
Yeah.
If you learn how to rock a girl's world when it comes to the bedroom, if you can really drive it home and make her orgasm a couple times, like, because I think there are a lot of girls out there that've had sex and really just they like it, they like the attention, they like the feeling, but they just don't really get off that much. And I feel like if you can be the one that kind of comes in there and just turns her world upside down there, they will never leave you alone.
Okay. Well, those are the 18
picks. Yeah, and for those of us that aren't 8 inches around, we have to find other ways of doing that.
Yeah, but Matt, but time out there, pal. That's because it's not always about that. It's also about the sensual, the foreplay, and the mental part of it, too.
I know.
I'm just saying.
Well, I want to thank Mandy Stadmiller for that column there. I want to thank Jacob.
We should have
Aaron
her on the show.
I'll try to send her an email tonight.
Well,
I may have to send her
thank
a real
God your
email.
Thank
friends
are on Facebook.
I may have to send her a real email to her email address. It's probably safer.
Yeah.
I want to thank Jacob Aranestis. You can watch the details. It's on demand right now. It's on Amazon.com. It's on iTunes, and you can see it in theaters November 2nd. Tobey Maguire, Ray Liotta, Laura Linney, Who else was in that movie again? Dennis Haysbert. And
you're in good hands.
Yeah, you're in good hands with Allstate. Yeah. And
Toronto hurt the little bird.
Next week I will be back here with Chucky and Mikey, and hopefully Chucky doesn't have any Republican convention.
No, I'll be back here next week for the Mikey Turner show.
Hey, thanks, Chucky.
No problem.
Hey, is who we having on next week?
Pat just told me 6 p.m. yesterday I'm having on Jacob Aranestis.
So another exciting guest next week.
You think I'm going to know who we're having on next week?
I'm
until
just asking.
Like, I'm not going to know until Tuesday.
Hey, Pat,
he is. But here's the thing. All these publicists, they get back to him, and they have to like negotiate this for like a week.
What's there to negotiate? Nobody gets...
I don't know. I don't know. Melanie's told me the same thing. That's how these people are.
Well, anyway.
So anyways, thank you very much for joining the program, and we will be back next Wednesday. And until then, I am Matthew Aaron, along with Michael Terzo and Charles. Would you like to say goodbye?
Goodbye, everybody.
Okay. And Charles Salvatore, Alex Luisi, Cesar Marconi, Patrick Tobias, we are saying goodnight. Thank you.
I don't think it would have been better in person. I don't think it would have been better, period. I think that's the personality. Yeah. I think he's a dry guy.
Yeah, but dude, think about it, there. Hold on, there. Hold on. Hold on, yeah. Like, what's the movie he has to see? That would have sucked on his way out. I'm like this. I'm like,
I did ask.
Like, hang up.